As Keach walked out of the gates into the rain, he faced more than 100 journalists from all over the world. Before being driven off to Heathrow Airport for a flight back to the United States, he had a few words for his fans.
The past 6 months have been a painful education, but I learned that I was able to make it because of the love and support of people, special people who wrote to me and who cared about my welfare. And I realized that thank you seems inadequate, but I just want you all to know how much it meant to me.
The man, buried under tons of rubble at the bottom of a collapsed well on the Isle of Wight, should be recovered dead or alive in the next few hours. After 85 hours of round-the-clock digging, rescuers are now within 10 feet of the victim, but no sound has been heard from him, and his family are fearing the worst. From the scene, Dave Loyne.
Rescuers are now more than 40 foot down, breaking and carting off large chunks of firestone and buckets of rubble as they go. Digging has been easier overnight, and Assistant Divisional Fire Officer Roger Bayliss says the end is now not far away.
The morale is excellent. They've got one objective in mind, and that's to get that guy out, and nobody's going to rest until that happens.
If they don't find Paddy Gerenus today, a team of expert tunnellers will join the final search tomorrow morning. Dave Loyne, IRN on the Isle of Wight.
The top Nazi hunter, Simon Wiesenthal, says he's almost 100% certain that the body exhumed from a grave in Brazil is not that of Auschwitz death camp doctor Josef Mengele. That's despite claims by the police in Brazil, who dug up the bones, that they're just as convinced it is the infamous Angel of Death. But as they await the war criminal's dental records from Germany, Wiesenthal insists that if it were Mengele, his lawyer would already have confirmed that he's dead.
I can say I'm very, very skeptical. Look, I cannot say 100%, maybe 99%. And also his lawyer, Steinacher, in Frankfurt, give the vote of honor. When he will get the information that he is dead, then he will announce it.
The chairman of English football league clubs are meeting in London this morning to decide how to fight the ban on their sides playing anywhere outside England. The ban's been imposed by world soccer bosses as a punishment for the riot in Brussels, which left 38 dead. This report from Mike Vince.
The FIFA ban has made England the lepers of world football, according to league president Jack Dunnett, and now chairman are demanding action. The ban's a cruel blow to clubs' hopes of balancing books and keeping their top stars away from the lure of continental soccer. Many pre-season tours have had to be scrapped, costing money clubs can ill afford. The chairman believes FIFA's been grossly unfair to bracket all clubs together, and FA chairman Bert Millichip has described the ban as totally unreasonable. And with millions of pounds, in some cases the club's very survival at stake, few chairmen are likely to disagree.
Independent Radio News. MPs will vote today on an unprecedented procedural device to let the Commons spend all weekend debating Enoch Powell's controversial bill banning experiments on human embryos. But with the Leader of the House, John Biffin, warning that if MPs agree to an open-ended debate, they'll be making a mockery of the rules of the Commons, the ploy is expected to be defeated. From Westminster, Richard Dallin.
Ministers and opposition leaders are hopeful the vote to continue debate over the weekend will be rejected. John Biffin's view that a yes vote would cause political chaos may sway the many undecided MPs who've been influenced by constituents' letters backing the bill. Mr. Powell says his efforts to make it law have been quite within the rules.
They say all's fair in love and war. And nobody can dispute that it is a motion which is in order.
Whatever today's outcome, the Commons Procedure Committee will be asked to ensure it can't happen again. Richard Dallin, IRN, Westminster.
A mother has been reliving the excruciating pain she suffered during a caesarean birth following a blunder by a hospital. Margaret Ackers was awake during the operation because she hadn't been given enough anaesthetic, and a muscle relaxant had paralysed her so that she couldn't cry out to alert the surgeon. The 31-year-old mother from Wigan says every agonising cut of the scalpel felt like a red-hot poker searing her skin. Leslie Stevenson with this report.
Wigan Health Authority admitted liability for what happened in the maternity ward 4 years ago, and a judge has awarded her nearly £14,000 damages. But Mrs. Ackers says she still remembers every minute of her hour-long operation.
I was taken into theatre thinking, sure, any minute now I'll go to sleep. I just wanted to curl up and scream out, but I couldn't. I've described it as being trapped in my own body.
The baby girl she had is now a lively four-year-old, and she's since had another child. But she says for the rest of her life she'll live in fear of the operating table. Leslie Stevenson, IRN, Wigan.
A government minister is being warned that he's sending a captive killer whale to its death if he agrees to have it moved from a cramped tank at Clacton-on-Sea in Essex. The Environment Minister, William Waldegrave, says the whale, called Nemo, should go to Windsor Safari Park. But the environmental pressure group Greenpeace wants Nemo returned to the wild. Greenpeace whale expert Doug Cartledge says the Safari Park pool is already too crowded with dolphins and another killer whale.
So as soon as the killer whale's put into the pool, the dominant dolphins there will attack it. If they don't cause it damage, there may be a fight with the other killer whale, and there would be no way in the world that they would be able to separate them if they started. I think Mr. Waldegrave is sentencing that animal to a water grave if he sends him to Windsor, possibly unsuspectingly, but that's what will likely happen.
A school for homosexual young people has opened up in New York. The first intake of pupils includes 14 boys and 6 girls, all over the age of 14. They've come to the school in the city's Greenwich Village from ordinary schools, and there's a waiting list of pupils waiting to transfer to it. The school's director says the special school protects them from violence and humiliation by other youths. And the gay kids also get the chance to study history and literature, with contributions from homosexuals pointed out. An armed siege is going on in South London. Armed police are surrounding a house in Southwark where a man wanted in connection with a robbery is held up in a loft. It's believed he's armed. Any more news on that story, of course, we'll bring it to you directly we get it. Independent Radio News, Douglas Cameron reporting.
The London stories in brief. A full investigation is to be held into a contamination accident in an office block annex at Westminster, which landed an MP's secretary in hospital. Scotland Yard say they urgently want to trace customers of a post office in the city who may have spotted 2 armed joggers who robbed it after handcuffing the early morning cleaners. The Old Bailey trial of 6 people charged in connection with Britain's biggest cash robbery at the London headquarters of Security Express continues today after the jury failed to reach a verdict.
The rush hour, and just a general warning, really, that the roads are still pretty wet, and what's happening is a lot of spray is being thrown up, so if you haven't already ventured onto the roads, then it's not very nice, is it, Philip? And it looks like going on this wet weather, doesn't it, for a few hours yet?
For quite a while yet, yes. The weather really can't get any worse than it is this morning, can it? But it can take its time before it improves, and we've got quite a soaking still to come during the morning. Believe it or not, it's actually going to be colder today compared with yesterday, even now in central London, just 8 degrees. During the day it'll creep up to 12 degrees, and for all of us who live outside Greater London, it'll probably not even make 12. In other words, readings more typical of November than June, all helped, of course, by a cold northerly wind. It's still raining over most of the area within a 100-mile radius of London, so obviously still some rain lined up for the rest of the morning. Drier weather is slowly heading our way, though, heading our way from the west and from the north, and the rain should have cleared from London by early afternoon. After that, still cloudy for some time, but there should be sufficient breaks this evening for a wee bit of late sunshine.
8:08.
You can travel on your holiday quicker and easier by the Dover-Calais route. 30 minutes by hovercraft, 75 by ferry, and fast motorway access both sides of the channel. It's plain sailing all the way, and in summer, 100 crossings every day.
Get ready to move up to low-cost new car motoring. This month, Group Range Cars will give you at least £1,400 for your present car when you part exchange it for the terrific FSO Polonaise Prima. Sunshine roof, stereo radio cassette, 6-year anti-corrosion and 2-year parts and labour warranties, all as standard. £1,400 minimum part exchange and 14 nights free holiday accommodation.
Incredible.
Group Range Cars, London Road, Mitcham, 01648 0551.
On this Friday, the 7th of June, from Bob Holness and Douglas Cameron, welcome, if you've just joined us, to AM here on LBC, and good morning. Nice to have you with us. Well, English soccer teams are now in world quarantine. As from last night, as we've heard, they're banned from everywhere. Only days after UEFA slapped an indefinite ban on English teams playing in Europe because of the Brussels death riot, FIFA have gone even further. The world body controlling soccer decided that the European soccer bosses didn't go far enough and told English soccer, take your ball back and stay home. That means not only are the English banned from Europe next year, friendly club matches against anywhere are out. And when they set out, FIFA meant exactly that. English professional teams won't even be allowed to cross the borders to play in Ireland, Scotland or Wales. So far, the England squad have escaped punishment, but that may end up as a temporary reprieve. A World Cup challenge could even be in danger. Of his thoughts on the FIFA move, we welcome Patrick Collins from the Mail on Sunday. Patrick, can I have your immediate reaction?
I think it's absolutely justified. What FIFA have done is a natural extension to what UEFA did last week. As you know, UEFA are the controlling European body, and they decided they didn't want English fans rampaging around Europe. FIFA have decided now they don't want English fans rampaging anywhere in the world for any reason. I can see their reasoning, and I think one has to applaud it.
Yeah, but surely before FIFA's ban, there'd been enough action. The FA voluntary ban for a year from Europe, UEFA's indefinite ban from the continent. Don't you think this punishment's going over the top?
No, I don't. I think it's a perfectly reasonable reaction of the world body of football to show their disapproval of what happened. I think perhaps English football is in danger of already, in the space of a week, forgetting just how terrible Brussels was. 38 people were killed there. I think it's very hard to overreact to a figure like that.
Yes, but we're penalising people who had nothing to do with that, aren't we?
Well, we've penalised them already. We've penalised clubs such as, for instance, Norwich City, who had no European experience. They're being penalised because England as a nation is being punished for being unacceptable to world football. As I say, I think that's a perfectly legitimate reaction, and I think instead of squealing about it, as the FA are doing, I think FIFA should actually be applauded for giving us the chance to take stock of what's going wrong with our game.
There's no appeal against this. I'm right in saying that, aren't I?
Well, I think that's right. The FA are talking about, the FA's first Pavlovian reaction was to appeal, but I don't think there is, in fact, a machinery for an appeal.
Now, the England manager, Bobby Robson, has been saying in our news bulletins this morning the world soccer ban is a devastating blow, and the soccer bosses have been saying likewise. Now, they quite accepted, didn't they, that English clubs should be banned from Europe, the Croakers of this world, the Millichips of this world, but they're furious about this. Why?
Well, I think their reaction, again, is fairly typical. They don't mind being punished unless it really hurts, and in which case they're up in arms about it. I think there will be an excellent case for withdrawing England from the World Cup. I think our reputation is so low that I think something really savage like that needs to be done. I can understand Croker and Millichip and indeed Bobby for resenting this. But I think the crimes have mounted up in the past, culminated in 38 deaths last week. And it's very hard to see how we can be punished too harshly.
This may well be a good cause for pulling England out of the World Cup. What can this have done to the morale of the England World Cup squad?
Well, with respect, I think that's probably the smallest consequence of all. Obviously, it won't have encouraged them because they're representatives of English football, but they're representing something which is fairly obnoxious to the rest of the world at the moment.
I think it'll be interesting, won't it, Patrick, to see the viewing figures for last night's England-Italy friendly match in Mexico. I just wonder how many people just couldn't give anything now about who wins a football match. And I just wonder how many people could be bothered looking in last night, because there were 8,000 people there, and I believe, my wife who was watching, told me 10,000 armed police. Now, this must be the first time that the police have outnumbered the crowd anywhere. And what a state we're living in, aren't we?
Well, absolutely. A game which needs 10,000 police to control 8,000 people actually isn't worth playing, I don't think. I think that one of the things that the FA have underestimated is the enormous wave of revulsion which has gone through the country over what happened last week. Last season's league attendances were the lowest for many years. Next season will be lower still. I've no idea, obviously, what the viewing figures were last night, but I would think a fair proportion of people would rather watch the exploits of Douglas Jardine in 1932 than what our international footballers are doing at the moment.
This is hardly a temporary thing, is it? Can we stand back and look at it all, if we possibly can? We're that much closer to it. It's going to affect English soccer right across the board for a very long time, isn't it? And not only the players themselves, not only the managers and the people behind soccer, but the sponsors as well. Who's going to sponsor football now?
Well, I think this is, again, one of the crucial questions, because the image of the game is so dirty now that I would think there'd be a queue of sponsors trying to get out of the game. This is a tragedy, but it's a tragedy that the game should have seen coming for the last 10 or 15 years. Mm. Clubs obviously are going to suffer financially. I think there are 92 league clubs meeting today in London for the Football League's AGM. I think I'd be very surprised if all those 92 are in existence at this time next year. I think anything up to 10, 15 clubs could go to the wall.
I wonder how many parents will be saying this morning, I wonder if we should encourage our son to play football. If he's a sportsman, should we not encourage him to play golf or tennis or cricket?
Well, again, this is the tragic thing. I think in many ways it's the greatest game of all, but I've been amazed in the last week how many people I know who've who've watched the game for 10, 20, 30 years say never again. And certainly they wouldn't encourage their children to go to league matches at the moment. And sadly, I don't think I would encourage mine.
Patrick, thank you for joining us. Patrick Collins, a sad subject, but one that's very much in the news this morning, as you well know. Patrick Collins being the chief sports writer of the Mail on Sunday. It's 8:15.
Yes, friends, the choice is yours. Brought to you by Peugeot. Okay, okay, give them the choice. Would you rather be the proud owner of a magnificent Peugeot 205 in lots of different colors, or 10 crisp pound notes, available only in green? Still want the money? Well, simply test drive a Peugeot 205 and then go and buy another new car in its class. We're so sure you won't do that, we'll give you £10 if you do.
The Peugeot 205. We bet you £10 that if you drive one of ours, you won't buy one of theirs.
Yes, friends, the choice is yours.
Your Peugeot Talbot dealer has the details.
8:16, the actor Stacey Keach, television tough guy detective Mike Hammer, has been released from Reading Jail this morning after serving 6 months of a 9-month sentence for smuggling cocaine into Britain. An armed siege is going on in South London. Police have surrounded a house in Southwark where a man wanted in connection with a robbery is held up in a loft. And a school for homosexual children has opened up in New York. The first intake of pupils includes 14 boys and 6 girls, all over the age of 14. Back to London for the weather. Dull and wet, slowly drying out during the afternoon. Little bit of sunshine just before sunset. It's very cold, really, when you consider the fact that it's June. It's 8 centigrade, 46 Fahrenheit now, moving to only 12 centigrade, 54 Fahrenheit. The wind is moderate northerly. Sunset 9:13, lights on 9:43. Next traffic bulletin coming your way at 8:27. That's in 10 minutes' time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Tickets, sir. Oh, intercity executive ticket, eh?
Yes.
Will you come with me, please?
Is there some sort of problem?
Just follow me, if you would, sir.
What is this? Wrong train, wrong class. It's that secretary again. She's got the ticket wrong. Well, that's it. She's finished.
This way, sir.
It may be the middle of summer, but if you buy an intercity executive ticket from London between June the 3rd and 28th, you'll think it's Christmas. Because with every executive ticket comes a full day's car hire, absolutely free, courtesy of Godfrey Davis Europe Car. Ring Teledata on 01200 0200 for full details. And may we wish you a very merry June and a prosperous July. Intercity. We're getting there.
8:18, some news just in from Southern Region. The 8:35 Dartford to Charing Cross via Woolwich cancelled, and the 8:36 Orpington to Charing Cross starting from Chislehurst at 8:41.
Well, quite an event. The last edition of the LBC job scheme I'll be announcing for some time to come. Life won't be the same, as I've followed them right through since they started, and I know how useful they've been to those on the lookout for work. On Friday, of course, concentrating on the people seeking professional and executive posts. So, with the good folk at PER manning their phones, waiting for your calls, here we go with this week's list.
Well, the first vacancy on the books this week concerns a Saudi Arabian company who want to recruit clerical administrators on initial one-year contracts. If you can demonstrate the ability to organise a busy office and to motivate a multinational team, and if you can type, then a salary of around $15,000 is offered.
A sales promotion company based in central London has a vacancy for business development manager. Now, if you're keen, you have an extensive record in sales, plus experience of sales promotion advertising, this position provides long-term prospects.
Now, I'm going back to Saudi Arabia for this one because... I thought it was you that was going. Yeah. Because a firm of consulting engineers who recently computerised their accountancy operation requires a computer programmer stroke manager. Now, if you're an experienced UK-trained programmer who speaks Arabic, why not contact PER now? There is an attractive salary.
Well, if you've plonked yourself in Saudi Arabia, how's this? And listen to this carefully. It's the first time we've announced one like this. Final vacancy. It's in response to a request from one of our clients who'd like to recruit a nanny for one of the royal households in Saudi Arabia. Now, interested nannies with an NNEB certificate and the relevant experience will be offered a salary of $12,000 a year, and full family involvement. And that's not all. At least 3 weeks of every year will be spent in America, where the family have a home. Well, who can resist an offer like that? And there are many more like that, not necessarily exactly similar, but roughly so. All you have to do is to contact PER on 930-3484. Rimmer, they're Britain's largest executive recruitment consultancy. They handle many high-calibre vacancies, both at home and abroad, each week. And for further details regarding this small selection of vacancies, or don't forget they have the free newspaper Executive Post, give them a ring. 01 if you're outside London. They're waiting for your call on 930-3484. 930-3484. More sport now, sport generally, but of course soccer is largely included. Here's Dominic.
And soccer to start with, Bob, because the Football Association want to appeal against the worldwide ban imposed on English clubs by FIFA yesterday, but the world's governing bodies say there is no machinery for such an appeal. At the moment, the FIFA ban doesn't affect the national team, but UEFA are due to meet later this month to discuss further sanctions, and if England were to be banned from the European Championships, FIFA might well extend that ban to the World Cup. England were in action last night, of course. In Mexico City, they lost to Italy by 2-1, the winning goal coming from a controversial penalty in the last minute of the game. A disappointing result for the England manager, Bobby Robson.
It is difficult to play our usual characteristic football of sort of all press and all action. It's not on here, not after 8 days anyway, because they were struggling a bit at half-time, and obviously it was going to be a conservative and energy situation in spells from time to time. But they paced the game, they finished strong, fought back well, good cross, good work by Huddle, and a good cross by Barnsley. Got beaten by a fluke, because the first goal is a fluke. He's gone for a cross.
Bobby Robson. The one piece of good news for English soccer this morning comes from Helsinki, where Finland produced another shock when they held Romania to a 1-1 draw in a World Cup qualifying game. That result not only helps England, who are virtually certain to qualify anyway, but more so Northern Ireland, who are now second in the table, level with Finland on points, but they have a game in hand. The draw for the semi-finals of the Benton and Hedges Cricket Cup takes place this morning, even though Leicestershire are the only team definitely through. No play was possible in any of the three games yesterday. They'll try again today. Another attempt will be made, too, to start the Dunhill British Masters Golf Championship at Woburn. Play was abandoned yesterday after half an hour, and the organisers have decided to stage the final two rounds on Sunday in an effort to complete the 72 holes on time. It's men's singles semi-finals day in the French Open Tennis Championships in Paris. John McEnroe will face Mats Wilander in one match. Jimmy Connors meets Evan Lendl in the other. The women's singles final tomorrow will be between Martina Navratilova and Chris Lloyd. Eric Van Lancker will wear the race leader's yellow jersey on today's stage of the Milk Race, which is from Leeds to Derby. Roy Nickman is in second place ahead of Paul Watson, who won yesterday's stage. This afternoon's horse racing is at Epsom and Catterick, after which there's an evening meeting at Haydock Park. Colin Turner's selections at Epsom are number 6, Snap Decision, in the 2 o'clock, and in the 3-5, number 7, Scottish Reel, which is today's nap. The best at Catterick is number 2, Bold Way, in the 3:45, and at Haydock Park in the 8 o'clock, number 1, Runaway. There's also afternoon greyhound racing at Bristol and Gosforth. Jim Bailey's selections are Queen's Gamble from Trap 6 in the 3:20 at Bristol and Classic Breeze from Trap 2 in the 4:22 at Gosforth. Trap 6 in the 3:20 at Bristol and Trap 2 in the 4:22 at Gosforth.
I've got a sneaky feeling that at 23 minutes past 8 from now on, next Monday, and from there on for some considerable time, I'm going to wake up in bed and say, "Good morning, Brian Hayes."
I think your wife will get an awful shock if you do.
Morning, Brian Hayes.
Good morning. Yes, it has been going on for... I've been coming in here at this time for a little while. We did it a bit later, but at this time roughly, for nearly 10 years.
Is it nearly 10?
That's right. We're about halfway through the 10th year of our morning encounters.
That's amazing.
It certainly is. It seems only yesterday.
I wouldn't say that.
This morning, with you between 10 and 1 as usual, and a personal view of the week's news by Robert Elms. Then we'll be talking to David Yallop, who claims that Pope John Paul I, remember him, was murdered 33 days after his election. Now, Mr. Yallop spent 3 years investigating this case. He now challenges the Vatican to refute any of his evidence, and that challenge has been there for quite some time and not been taken up. Hear David Yallop's story and then put your questions to him. Then after the midday news and City Report, it's almost as if I designed this especially for today. We're going to be talking about jazz.
Feet warmers.
Yeah, well, jazz generally, John Chilton, is I don't need to remind you, is a performer. You've mentioned the feet warmers and works with George Melly, of course. But he's also produced a very highly respected who's who of jazz. And we're going to be talking to him about what jazz is and about some of the great names in jazz. I'm sure, Bob, that you can tell me who this is.
Thank you.
Stan Kenton's Eager Beaver, recorded on November the 19th, 1945. Now, I don't know the recording date, but Eager Beaver by Kenton. That was lovely.
Well, I thought, well, we're probably going to have to mention Stan Kenton at some stage.
What a good
idea. There's no way out of it. And I thought to myself, no, which track would I play just to remind everybody, in fact, of what we're going to be talking about. And I thought, well, I'll play something I like. It's a good way to choose things.
It's probably one of his best-known numbers. Mm. Some of the ones that followed up, even though they're probably to Stan Kenton Addict's better recordings, that one was the one that everybody else copied. Mm. You know, all the British bands took up Eager Beaver. Joe Lawson, everybody else recorded it at one time or another. It was really a standard.
One of the fascinating things will be to get somebody like John Chilton to tell me what jazz is, because it's a very interesting question. And, of course, many of the musicians can't answer that kind of question, but he, having this kind of overview, probably will. I remember a very famous record made by Leonard Bernstein.
I've got it at home.
Have you really?
It's superb.
It's a wonderful record. I don't know how respected that view is, but it was a very interesting view of somebody actually trying to actually explain what jazz is. Mm. And I remember producing a radio program, a late-night radio program, some years ago. And it was one of those where I gave the presenter a warning that we had 30 seconds to go. The presenter was talking to a jazz man and said, and finally, Mr. So-and-so, could you tell me what jazz is? And then heard, or saw the clock going 3-2-1-0, and that was the end of that. I never found out.
No. No, it's a superb record, the Leonard Bernstein one. I think CBS ought to reissue it. It was probably one of the most authoritative and clever records of its type ever produced.
Yeah, it's a kind of illustrated lecture.
Oh, yes, absolutely. An LP, Leonard Bernstein, What is Jazz? CBS, please re-release. We ought to have asked Mr. Morris Oberstein to re-release it when he was in here yesterday,
oughtn't we? Of course, we should have done, indeed.
Yeah. Let's hope he's listening.
Well, Bob, we know we're rolling back the years just a few times.
What's coming up?
Between 6 and 10 this morning
the
for you.
Boggles, yeah.
And we want you to hear a certain Eager Beaver talking to us from way up on high. Remember this?
Well, we're immediately over the A11 now. From Stratford Broadway, right back along the A11, there's what must surely be a 2 or 3 mile tailback of traffic.
It is possible to get to work without listening to Bob Holness in Helicopter 417.
You could do worse than to branch off and go along the A106 through Hackney Wick.
It might just take you a bit longer. Helicopter 417, every morning in the AM programme on LBC.
Good heavens, and whose was the voice in the foreground?
I don't know who that was. I think it was obviously a station promotion.
Yes, yeah.
And I can't remember.
I don't ever remember hearing that before.
It would be a professional voice,
yeah.
Almost like a commercial for the station. But I don't know who the voice was.
I can remember hearing Bob in the helicopter when I was going to school, I think.
You are a spy. You went to school in Alice Springs, mate. It never got that far.
I don't even know where Alice Springs
is. She was a lovely girl, Alice Springs.
No, I often wonder where Mike Smith, the helicopter pilot, is. He was a superb pilot, and he used to sort of wheel that helicopter all over the place. We used to fly to Fates and everything else. But those recordings, or rather, transmissions of the traffic scenes over London were superb fun to do. They were a lot of hard work, but it was, I remember on one particular occasion, and I don't think I've ever seen it before or since, we're coming along the Thames, because you had to fly along the Thames. The waterway is the helicopter way as well.
Mm.
And I looked down over the edge of the Thames embankment near the Tate Gallery and saw a water main burst. I saw the water come right out of the road, and I said, "Stop!" And he hovered, and I came through to you and told you there was a water main and the traffic was building up. Mm. That's the sort of instant reaction we used to get in those days. Sort of thing that made the job well worthwhile.
Well, the time has come, Bob.
What? What do you mean?
The time has come for me to say goodbye.
Oh, yeah, well, I've been looking forward to this for years.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to work with you and to talk to you each morning, and good luck.
Thank you.
I overheard a conversation as I was coming in just a short while ago at the front door. The doorman was explaining, he doesn't have to leave at all. He's leaving of his own accord. Somebody obviously thought you'd been fired.
That's charming, isn't it? No, I'm not. I'm only leaving the programme. I should be popping up elsewhere from time to
time. Yes, I'm sure.
Anyway, we haven't got a helicopter in our traffic reports, but we will have traffic reports right after you've heard this.
You don't need Haynes to talk on a Motorola. You don't need Haynes to use our new car phone. When you make a phone call to Australia,
hello?
You don't need Haynes, even if you are alone.
Hello?
With a Motorola cellular car phone, you can talk on the phone while you're driving without taking your hands off the wheel.
Only Motorola offers a carphone range with this facility.
I don't need hate to talk on my Motorola. Wherever I am, I'm always in the know. They are the ones you don't need hands for, so you can drive and keep your business on the go.
Our cellular phone range is available now.
I said no hands, please.
Dial 100 and ask for free phone Motorola.
Jane Markham, how are things?
Well, it's still a very busy rush hour, and although I don't think you'd see much from a helicopter, I seem to have quite a lot on my plate here this morning. Kingston Town Centre is very slow going. The A13 has a tailback westbound from the Canning Town flyover. If you're heading in on the A1, you'll find that very slow approaching Stirling Corner and also Apex Corner. And the M1 has very slow moving traffic between junctions 5 and 4. It's virtually at a crawl if you're heading south on the M1. On the A40, approaching Uxbridge Circus, that's the junction with Park Road, traffic is very slow moving, and a burst water main on Honeypot Lane at the junction with Charlton Road in Stanmore is still causing delays. The A41 is another route that's very busy, the Hendon Way, and that is busy all the way down through towards Swiss Cottage. Jane Markham, AA Road Watch.
If you travel out of sight of any helicopter by Northern Line from Kentish Town Station, please be warned that the escalators there aren't working this morning. But with that exception, underground services are good, with regular trains on all 9 lines. Most bus routes too are in good shape, though slow progress is likely where traffic is heavy on this grey and damp morning. Ken Cordner reporting.
And the railways are behaving themselves. Nothing to report from them. It's 8:32.
Are the facts staring you in the face? Or are they glaring you in the face? If computer screen glare is causing your company problems, then fit Glare Guard for a difference you can see. Made from tough safety glass, they feature an anti-glare coating so durable and effective that it's used on NASA's space shuttle. But Glare Guard's prices start at a down-to-earth £59.95. Clearly, a small price to pay for an easy life. For more information, dial the operator and ask for free phone Glare Guard.
Glare Guard, the difference you can see.
Call now, dial the operator, ask for free phone Glare Guard.
News from in and around London. An armed siege is going on at a house in Southwark where a man wanted in connection with a robbery has held himself up. Robbery squad officers have surrounded the house in Longley Street. They believe the man is in the loft. We'll bring you more details on that story as soon as we get them. The Old Bailey trial of 6 people charged in connection with Britain's biggest cash robbery continues today. It's the 66th day of the hearing. The jury has spent 2 nights in an hotel after failing to reach a verdict. 3 men have denied taking part in the £6 million raid at the London headquarters of Security Express 2 years ago. Britain's major package holiday firms say they're worried that holidaymakers will be forced to fly from Stansted when the Essex airport is expanded. They believe charter flights from Gatwick, which account for more than half its traffic, may be switched to Stansted on the orders of the government. Here's Denise O'Callaghan.
The chairman of the powerful tour operator study group, Sidney Perez, says there's been a ban on holiday charter flights at Heathrow for some years, and he says the group's determined to stop the same thing happening at Gatwick. The study group represents the 17 top British holiday companies, including Thomson Holidays and Horizon. They account for nearly 5 million passengers a year at London area airports. Mr. Perez insists there must be no denial of holidaymakers' choice to fly from a convenient airport.
A London teacher is to start up her own school. The move has meant instant promotion for 27-year-old Jennifer Mason to headmistress. But she's also having to work more than 12 hours a day to get the school in Smithfield ready for the first intake. In between planning the curriculum for the pre-prep school, which will take pupils aged from 3 to 8, she's been decorating the building as well. Jennifer says her experience of teaching children in Africa will be a great help.
In the school I was teaching in Zambia, there were children of 21 different nationalities, and that sort of working in such a sort of pluralistic society, I think, gives you a very broad-minded approach to how children learn, because they are all the same. I was teaching 5 and 6-year-olds out there, and having children all the same age but from totally different backgrounds, you were able to make sort of certain comparisons and similarities, and also learn the cultural differences that are involved.
for today's national and international news, actor Stacey Keach has been released from Reading Jail this morning after serving 6 months of a 9-month sentence for smuggling cocaine into Britain. The chairman of English football league clubs are meeting in London today to decide how to fight the ban on sides playing anywhere in the world outside England. And a school for homosexual children has opened up in New York. The first intake includes 14 boys and girls all over the age of 14.
The weather from Philip.
Yesterday's appalling weather staying with us for half of today, but there'll be a very, very gradual improvement later on. Dreadful temperatures in central London, 8 or 46 this morning. It'll make 12 or 54 late this afternoon. That'll probably make it the coldest June day for about 8 years, and there'll be a brisk northerly wind to go with it. It's raining practically everywhere in London and the southeast. Indeed, it's still raining as far north as Sheffield and as far west as Bristol. The fact that at this very moment it's not raining outside here in Gough Square is just a momentary aberration. Yeah. Easy to see, we've still got a couple of buckets full of rain still to come in London this morning. This afternoon should squeeze the last drops of rain out of this particular cloud sheet. The clouds very slowly breaking and dispersing, just in time for a little evening sunshine.
I see. And is that sunshine to be continued tomorrow and Sunday?
There'll be some sunshine, yes.
Dear.
I knew you were going to do that, Bob, but I still couldn't stop laughing.
Well, I wonder if you can hear it.
Isn't it incredible? It's the last of my little animals to appear on the programme, thank you. It was given to me by Max, who is the small son of our producer, Vicky, and he sent a little note saying, "Dear Bob, thought you'd like this." It's a note shaped like a motor car, and it's one of these dogs that goes along and rolls over on its back and then goes along and rolls over on its back. I just thought that it would amuse you.
He's a nice writer, Max. He's a better writer than I am. I can read his writing.
And he
chooses
the
right
sorts of presents.
He does indeed. Sorry, Philip, what were you saying about the weather?
Yeah, well, before we get to that, I still haven't got my own back on, Bob, for the last time you did that to me, so I've got two saved up for you now.
When was it, last Christmas? I think it was.
It was about then, yes. Was it not a frog or something?
I think it was, yes. Carry on, Philip.
Right, yes. Froggy weather this weekend. There's some rain to come on both days, especially Saturday night and Sunday morning, but there will be sunshine as well. There'll be some sunshine during Saturday morning and at first in the afternoon, and for a while on Sunday. It will, though, be a cold weekend. So I hope you're well wrapped up in your Victorian clothes for your thing on Sunday.
Oh, thank you. The thing, yes, being out at Grimsdyke at Harrow Weald at the country house in which W.S. Gilbert used to live. Thank you for mentioning it. I'd almost forgotten. 2:30 Sunday afternoon, a Victorian fete in aid of guide dogs for the blind. All are welcome, rain or not.
Now, just a quick resume of the weather, because there's been a lot of interruption. It may very well this weekend at some period rain cats and dogs. Especially Max's dog.
Thank you, Max. 9:22.
The S-Plans, the choice is yours. Brought to you by Peugeot. Okay, give them the choice. Would you rather be the proud owner of a magnificent Peugeot 205 in lots of different colors? Or 10 crisp pound notes? Available only in green. Still want the money? Well, simply test drive a Peugeot 205 and then go and buy another new car in its class. We're so sure you won't do that, we'll give you £10 if you do.
The Peugeot 205. We bet you £10 that if you drive one of ours, you won't buy one of theirs.
Yes, friends, the choice is yours.
Your Peugeot Talbot dealer has the details.
Designer Catherine Hamnitz put her political messages up front on her T-shirts. Now she's a new project, a magazine called Tomorrow, which she's already described as an extreme form of T-shirt. What can she mean? Join us on the Pyro programme at 3 to find out. You mustn't miss the final episode of this week's Irish RM story. Then treason shrubs man Tony Kirkham can answer your questions at 4:30 here on LBC.
I can see them all over Greater London saying, yes, all very well, all that mucking about with dogs, but they've forgotten the top 10. Wrong. Today, as usual, it's the turn of albums. Two new entries in the network chart top 10 albums, and they're filling the top two spaces. The wind up the list, Bruce Pavey.
We may have seen the last of the Hits album Volume 2 by various artists. That's at number 10. Consistent at 9, though, Best of Eagles. Once a number 1, now at 8, Low Life, New Order. Down two places for No Jacket Required by Phil Collins, that's at number 7. The same as last week for Songs from the Big Chair by Tears for Fears at number 6, up 2 places at 5, Best of the 20th Century Boy, Mark Bolan. Last week's number 1 has slipped to number 4, Hot Hits Now by various artists. Down 1 at 3, Brothers in Arms, Dire Straits. High flying from last week's number 29 at number 2, Now Dance, various artists. But straight in at number 1, our favourite shop, Style Council. Looking at the chart, here's the NME's Richard Cook.
The big trend, once again, is towards compilation LPs, making a big showing. There's Hits Album 2 at 10. There's Hot Hits Now at number 4. And Now Dance comes bursting in at number 2. If it weren't for the number 1 record this week, I think this would have been straight in at number 1. And it does tend to demonstrate the ongoing situation that we've got of packages of recent singles being a much more attractive proposition to record buyers with limited funds than buying the original singles as a clutch.
Now, we have got a new number one, though, straight in at number one, Our Favourite Shop by Style Council.
Well, a lot of records seem to be going straight in at number one in the last few months, but I think this is all credit to Paul Weller and Mick Talbot of the Style Council for making this really such a powerful record. It's quite surprising with the rather sappy tendencies of modern pop music to find a collection of songs with as much political punch and sting as this one has got. It's dressed up in a lot of fashionable pop flavours, it's true, and I suppose some of it does sound a bit on the hollow side here and there. But Weller's singing really very impassioned, and the stance that he takes up is, I think, quite a brave one throughout the record, so full marks to him.
You don't have to take this crap. You don't have to sit back and relax.
Style Council with their hit single Walls Came Tumbling Down from their album Our Favourite Shop, which has gone straight to the top of the network album chart. Ah, takes all sorts. Before that, Richard Cook was talking to Bruce Favey. It's got here, My Favourite List Man. I see, that's Bruce. He's typed it on his own list. That's modesty. Now, the last time I'll be introducing an item which has been part of the programme even longer than I have. Since the days of Adam McKenzie and Clive Rosalind, I think, City
Good
Diary. Yes.
Heavens, to name two people who presented the programme before you. Mm. Yes, indeed.
A regular look ahead to the day in the city. Now presented in association with British Telecom Voice Bank. The Financial Times Index, down 9.5 at 1007.6, and with today's prospects, Janice Sutherland.
You don't get away with that, Bob.
You don't think you do your last programme with a bit of pre-recorded tape by somebody other than me, do you?
I see. I looked up and there's this lurking figure in a smart grey suit.
Well, there is a real professional for you, you see, which reveals one of the secrets of LBC. I came stumbling into the studio with even more elan than people like Dominic manage, and Bob was so deeply ensconced in his job, which is to sit here and read these pieces of paper, amongst other things, introducing items on the programme. They didn't even notice. You didn't know I was here until the tape didn't run, did you?
Have you bought that suit specially for the occasion?
Now, don't be cheeky. You know very well I've had that.
Very really smart.
Television suit, that is.
There's a hand stitching on the outside.
Enough of this. Would you like to know what's happening in the city today?
Yes, please.
I will tell you for the very last time. I'll be asking questions on the
day. I'm flattered that you should make a personal appearance.
A special sacrifice. You know how I love getting up early.
Yes.
It was down for the second day running yesterday, but still above 1,000, continuing the recent story of a market going nowhere. No new reasons to be cheerful at all, with the belated realisation for some that for the time being, at any rate, the government has absolutely no intention of relaxing its hold on interest rates, as indeed we were explaining here earlier in the week when the whiff of exchange rate euphoria gave some people in the markets a bit of an intellectual trip. The news of the collapse of the major Hong Kong bank Overseas Trust didn't help either, and even the pound's recovery on the foreign exchange markets against both a weaker dollar and European currencies was largely shrugged off. The upward revision to invisible earnings figures in the first quarter balance of payments helped there, of course, transforming a deficit for the quarter of $86 million into an equally small surplus of over $100 million, a bit below the government's estimates. But behind it all, continuing worries about the steady decline in the North Sea and other oil prices. No domestic indicators out in Britain today, apart from the weekly Treasury bill tender, though America does produce its latest unemployment figures, which are widely expected to be unchanged. That could be taken by some to suggest that there might be further relaxation on the way in American interest rates, which should be good for the pound, at least in the short term. Company results are pretty thin on the ground today, as is often the case on Fridays. Biggest are English-China Clays with half-time figures, and full-year results due from SOMIC. And with considerable interest at the moment in the financial position of commercial radio, more than passing interest in half-time figures due from what is normally one of the network's more profitable stations, Piccadilly Radio.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you, Douglas. And as I say again, I'm very flattered that you put it into your head to get up early this morning, get dressed in a suit, which is quite an event in itself, and come out and join us here on AM.
Well, we wish you well, of course. But as we all know, old LBC employees, at least some of them, never die. They don't even fade away. I'm sure we've got you around for a long time in some form or another.
I'm afraid in some form or another you have. Thank you. Douglas Moffat, our financial editor, now retires, puts his feet up on his desk and works out his expense sheet. It's 8:45.
Can you taste the difference between these two cooking methods? Number one. And number two. Well, the first was a burger being fried, the way some hamburger restaurants cook them. And the second was a burger being flame grilled. That's the way we cook them at Burger King. And we really believe you can taste the difference. Why not come into Burger King and taste for yourself? Order a Burger King flame-grilled Whopper before next Thursday, and if you say flame-grilling beats frying, we'll give you another one completely free. Got that? Just order a Burger King Whopper and say this catchphrase, flame-grilling beats frying, and we'll give you another one completely free.
You can't mistake that flame-grilled taste.
Burger King. Burger King.
But hurry. The Burger King offer ends next Thursday, June 13th.
While you're in yet another meeting or joining the queue at the supermarket, boats are busy cruising the calm canals of Amsterdam. Old barrel organs are playing in crowded open markets selling fresh fish, giant cheeses and costume jewellery. And the world of Vermeer is now open at the Rijksmuseum. Time Off, the specialist in short break holidays, will take you there. Take time off in Amsterdam. See your travel agent or call 01 235 8070. 235 8070.
The time is 8:47. The latest news, an armed siege is going on in South London. Police have surrounded a house in Southwark where a man wanted in connection with a robbery is held up in a loft. The actor Stacey Keach, television tough guy detective Mike Hammer, has been released from Reading Jail this morning after serving 6 of a 9-month sentence for smuggling cocaine into Britain. The chairman of English Football League clubs are meeting in London this morning to decide how to fight the ban on sides playing anywhere in the world outside England, and the Brazilian authorities are waiting for dental records from Germany to find out if the bones they dug out of a grave are the remains of Nazi death camp doctor Josef Mengele.
The sports news in brief. The Football Association want to appeal against that worldwide ban imposed on English clubs yesterday, but FIFA says there's no machinery for an appeal. The first club to be affected are Spurs. We'll hear from Peter Shreves in Australia in just a moment. England lost to Italy by 2-1 in a friendly international in Mexico City. The winning goal came from a controversial penalty in the last minute. No play was possible in any of the outstanding Benton and Hedges cricket quarter-finals yesterday. They'll try again today, and they hope for some play too at Woburn, where the Dunhill Masters golf tournament was also washed out.
Well, I think they're going to be a bit lucky, aren't they, with some of the areas in the southeast as far as cricket and golf and tennis are concerned today, because a dull and wet morning is forecast. It'll slowly dry out during the afternoon. The clouds will break just before sunset to give just a few minutes of sunshine. And the temperature's absolutely appalling for this time of year. 8 centigrade, 46 Fahrenheit now. 12 centigrade, 54 Fahrenheit, the top temperature today. Unbelievable. 9:12.
To find out the fastest way of driving to France, we pitched a Porsche 911 Turbo against a Reliant Robin. Predictably, the Porsche was first to the ferry. But on the Dover-Calais stretch, it could only muster a top speed of 25 miles per hour. The Reliant took a slightly different route, cruising along on the hovercraft at 65 miles per hour, leaving the Porsche in its wake. If you'd like to go from Dover to Calais or Boulogne faster than that Porsche, call Hoverspeed or pull up at your nearest travel agent. Hoverspeed. Half the time, twice the style.
From tequila to tubing and chemicals to crafts, fashion and art, Mexico means business. Find out how at Mexpo 85, a special exhibition at the Novotel Hammersmith from June the 11th to the 15th.
Thank you.
This is Clive Bull. Saturday morning on LBC, it's the Fix-It phone-in. In the garden, Jerry Dowden tells you how to have success with soft fruit. In the house, DIY expert Mike Lawrence has some words of warning about replacement windows. In the garage, Gerard Sauer helps you get your car on the road and has news of the servicing consumer test, where we check up on how well the professionals can fix it. 10 till 1 Saturday morning on LBC.
Where I can give you an exact time check or part of the service if you want to set your clock to the second. It's 10 to 9. Well, the worldwide ban on English soccer clubs imposed by FIFA in the wake of the Brussels riot has left the first division club Tottenham high and dry in Australia. Spurs are due to play the Italian side Udinese on Sunday in a playoff for the third place in a tournament. What does their manager, Peter Shreves, think of it all?
Well, our immediate reaction is one of shock. On top of the UEFA ban, which was fairly stringent to say the least, we were fine that this FIFA ban on all English clubs would be fairly damning at this stage. We're caught up in the middle of a situation that we don't have any control over, and my immediate decision is whether we can play here in Melbourne on Sunday, a game that's under contract we're due to play.
What are you doing to try and see whether you can play in Melbourne?
Well, I've read the telex that was issued by FIFA from Zurich, and if you interpret that to the letter, it would appear that the ban takes effect immediately. Because they've sold tickets here and they're expecting quite a good crowd, I've sent a telex to the English Football Association for clarification, and of course the mute point is when the ban actually starts to take place.
Well, if you can't play, it obviously will be a tremendous blow and a financial blow as well, that you're suddenly out in Australia and you can't take part in the competition.
Yes, I don't think a club like Tottenham would be too concerned about the financial implements. What we would be concerned about is the fact that, as a top-class club, we will now not be able to spread the goodwill that we've enjoyed over the last couple of years all around the world.
What's your view on the fact that there is this ban being imposed? Do you think it's fair?
Well, we all sat and watched the horror sights that we saw in Brussels, and that left us with a fairly empty feeling inside as far as football people are concerned. I would appreciate that could never, ever be allowed to be repeated in any stadium in the world. I just wonder whether this particular ban is going to be the answer to solving that particular problem.
But, of course, you're the at the sharp end, and, in fact, you're the people who it might well affect first of all, aren't you?
Well, yes, I suppose we are now the first test case, and I don't really see how FIFA can do anything other than not allow us to play. We're due to come home back to England on Monday. It would seem to me that we'll have to keep to that arrangement. So here we are, ready to play soccer in Australia. The Australian public wanted to come along and watch the game, and we'll be the first victims of this particular ruling.
Tottenham's manager, Peter Shreves, talking just a few minutes ago to Kevin Murphy. The time now, 7:30 to 9. One or two events going on around and about London and the South East we thought you'd like to know about.
Yes, there's a lunchtime event today at St Dunstan in the West, Fleet Street. It's a clarinet recital by Mary Brunsdon, accompanied by Peter Greenhalgh. The programme includes works by Saint-Saëns, Finzi and Amos. Refreshments to follow. All are welcome. That's St Dunstan in the West, Fleet Street, EC4. A lunchtime clarinet recital at 1:10.
And another event in the church. The Pinner Music Festival starts today in Pinner Parish Church. It goes through from today until next Wednesday. All concerts begin at 8:15. Tonight it's the Purcell School of Young Musicians. Tomorrow it's the Festival Choir and Orchestra. Sunday the Phoenix Chamber Orchestra. Monday the Early Music Consort. And Tuesday, St Martin's Singers, Martin in the Fields, and Church Musicians on the Wednesday. Superb series of concerts. Tickets are available from the church most times of the day. If you want to contact the church, it's Pinner Parish Church, and it's their music festival through till Wednesday.
And a carnival tomorrow afternoon. I've been asked to mention the Harefield Carnival tomorrow. It starts at 1:15 in the hospital grounds. It features the Royal Artillery Parachute Team, the Deal Girl Pipers, Vintage Car Rally, Gymnastic Display, and the usual sideshows. The opening ceremony, the other weatherman, Jack Scott. Probably couldn't afford Philip Eden. Anyway, Jack Scott's opening it. at 1:15. Morning, Jack. I know he listens. Oh, my goodness me. What on earth have you got there?
It's a massive poster which was sent to me for the Weekend Festival of African Jazz. Saturday evening, June the 8th, 8 till 2 in the morning, High Life International, plus Calabash. Saturday noon till 6, Isangoma, plus Ananzi. And Sunday, June the 9th, to noon till the 6th, Dudu Pukwana Zila. It's a tremendous festival. Jazz at the Tunnel, this is. The Mitre, Tunnel Avenue, Greenwich, Southeast 10. A weekend of African jazz. Well worth going along to. Let me just look at to see. It's Saturday, 8th of June, 12 noon, right the way through to Sunday, 5:30. And again, it's the Mitre, 338 Tunnel Avenue, Greenwich, Southeast 10. Why not go along? Should be great fun.
Stop, stop waiting, start living.
Now, come to Schreiber at 101 for beautiful fitted kitchens and bedrooms. Come for savings of 50% on selected units you fit yourself. Come for our free measuring and planning service. Come Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 5:30. Come Thursday till 8 at night. Come Sundays, 10 till 4, when the parking's so easy.
Come on to Schreiber now.
Schreiber at 101 Baker Street, West 1.
Jane Markham, just quickly before you give your road report, can I thank you and everybody else at the AA for your splendid card? I shall treasure it, it'll go up on the mantelpiece, and you're all marvellous poets. Thank you very much indeed.
I'm delighted you received it in
yes,
time,
indeed.
Bob.
So what's happening on the roads?
Well, we've had a very bad rush hour, and it's certainly not easing off yet, I'm afraid. I'm getting reports of an accident on the A406, the North Circular Road, at the junction with Ivy Avenue in Harlesden, and there's a queue eastbound there right the way back and affecting the Hanger Lane gyratory system at the moment. The A408 is very slow. That's 40 lane as you head down from Wembley towards Neasden. And Barnet Lane is very slow going as you go down to Elstree between Stirling Corner and Elstree High Street. The A40 back out at Uxbridge Circus is still very congested. That's the junction with Park Road. And the M1 is carrying very heavy traffic southbound, particularly between junctions 5 and 4. Jane Markham, AA Road Watch.
The news for bus and tube travellers is good this morning. The only serious problem is at Kentish Town, where the escalators aren't working, but all lines have plenty of trains, and bus services too are good. Finally this morning for me, it's farewell to Bob from the bus and underground travel team, and Michael Meach, our regular reporter, sends a special good luck message as you change tracks. Ken Cordner reporting.
And for air travellers, no reports of any difficulties at domestic airports or on the continent. If you're meeting passengers, British Airways arrivals are well to time, except for BA020 from Peking, Hong Kong and Bahrain, an approximate arrival time of 11 o'clock. Canada's incoming services are on or close to time. And finally, at Gatwick, British Caledonians' arrivals from the United States are all heading in on schedule. Marie Collette, Air Travel News.
Well, on Bob's last morning, the railways have done very well. They've behaved themselves. 100% record. Everything seems to be running. The North Sea and the English Channel aren't such good lads. The wind is moderate northerly there. The seas are moderate. Visibility is still rather poor, I'm afraid, in the rain. And a quick check of the currencies. These are the ones you're normally better off buying here before you go. The American dollar, 1.26.5, the French franc 11.67, the Italian lira 2,450, the Canadian dollar 172.25, and the South African rand 2.85.
And thank you to Ken Cordner there for his kind comments. I will try and keep on the right rails. Thank you, Ken, very much indeed. Now, I'd like to just mention, if I may, the Children's Society. A team of youngsters and staff at the Children's Society Home for the Mentally Handicapped Young People at 47 Harrow View in Harrow will be running in the Leighton Buzzard Marathon on Sunday, this coming Sunday. They're joining forces with another local home for mentally handicapped youngsters, and each team member will run about 2 miles to complete the course. 15-year-old Ray and 16-year-old Nick, who both live in Harrowview, are hoping to take part, and they'll be doing their own fundraising for the society. They're looking forward for sponsors, if you'd care to take part. And Steve is there leading the team, who'll be sporting Children's Society running vests. So good luck to the team of youngsters and staff at the Children's Society's Home for Mentally Handicapped People in Harrowview, Harrow, running in the Leighton Buzzard Marathon on Sunday.
Well, I do hope you can stay with us until 10 o'clock, as we keep saying this morning. It is Bob's last morning on AM, certainly in the foreseeable future. And we have what we call a running order on the programme, which means that we have in front of us, Bob and myself, every morning a similar running order, which tells us what is going to happen next, all being well. My running order this morning is completely different to Bob, because we've got a lot of surprises lined up between now and 10. Hope you can stay with us.
Thank you.
Do you know how it feels with a great set of wheels? Get for the ring. Get Michelin. The mile after mile, you've got safety and style. They're strong and they're tough. When the going gets rough, take off and drive. Now you're real.
Well, our usual Friday roundup of fruit, veg and fish prices and availability over the next hour of AM, as well as our wine suggestions for the weekend and news for those many sufferers from hay fever. First, though, after the main news summary at nine, the story, the sporting story, which has been topping the headlines this morning, the FIFA ban on all English soccer. We'll be looking in more detail on 261 Medium Wave 97.3 VHF.
The 9 o'clock news, this is Douglas Cameron. A siege is going on in South London. Scotland Yard says a man, believed to be armed, is holding out in a house in Bermondsey. Officers of the robbery squad are at the scene. A British military car has been rammed and two British officers held for 5 hours in East Germany. Allied sources say the incident happened on Tuesday, just 10 weeks after an American major in a military liaison team in East Germany was shot dead by a communist sentry. The sources say the British officers were in open countryside and nowhere near a restricted zone. The actor Stacey Keach, television tough guy detective Mike Hammer, has been released from Reading Jail this morning after serving 6 months of a 9-month sentence for smuggling cocaine into Britain. As Keach walked out of the gates into the rain, he faced more than 100 journalists from all over the world. Before being driven off to Heathrow Airport for a flight back to the United States, he had a few words for his fans.
The past 6 months have been a painful education, but I learned that I was able to make it because of the love and support people, special people who wrote to me and who cared about my welfare. And I realized that thank you seems inadequate, but I just want you all to know how much it meant to me.
The man, buried under tons of rubble at the bottom of a collapsed well on the Isle of Wight, should be recovered, dead or alive, in the next few hours. After 85 hours of round-the-clock digging, rescuers are now within 10 feet of the victim, but no sound has been heard from him, and his family are now fearing the worst. From the scene, Dave Lyne.
Rescuers are now more than 40 foot down, breaking and carting off large chunks of firestone and buckets of rubble as they go. Digging has been easier overnight, and Assistant Divisional Fire Officer Roger Bayliss says the end is now not far away.
The morale is excellent. They've got one objective in mind, and that's to get that guy out, and nobody's going to rest until that happens.
If they don't find Paddy Gerenus today, a team of expert tunnellers will join the final search tomorrow morning. Dave Lyne, IRN on the Isle of Wight.
A school for homosexual young people has opened up in New York. The first intake of pupils includes 14 boys and 6 girls, all over the age of 14. They've come to the school in the city's Greenwich Village from ordinary schools, and there's a waiting list of pupils waiting to transfer to it. The chairman of English Football League clubs are meeting in London this morning to decide how to fight the ban on their sides playing anywhere outside England. The ban has been imposed by world soccer bosses as a punishment for the Brussels riot, which left 38 people dead. Mike Vince with this report.
The FIFA ban has made England the lepers of world football, according to league president Jack Dunnett, and now chairman are demanding action. The ban's a cruel blow to clubs' hopes of balancing books and keeping their top stars away from the lure of continental soccer. Many pre-season tours have had to be scrapped, costing money clubs can ill afford. The chairman believes FIFA's been grossly unfair to bracket all clubs together, and FA chairman Bert Millichip has described the ban as totally unreasonable. And with millions of pounds, in some cases the club's very survival at stake, few chairmen are likely to disagree.
Independent Radio News. The top Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal says he's almost 100% sure that the body exhumed from a grave in Brazil is not that of Auschwitz death camp doctor Josef Mengele. That's despite claims by the Brazilian police, who dug up the bones, that they're just as convinced it is the infamous Angel of Death. But as they await the war criminal's dental records from Germany, Wiesenthal insists that if it were Mengele, his lawyer would already have confirmed that he's dead.
I can say I'm very, very skeptical. Look, I cannot say 100%, maybe 99%. And also his lawyer, Steinacher, in Frankfurt, give the word of honor. When he will get the information that he is dead, then he will announce it.
MPs will vote today on an unprecedented procedural device to let the Commons spend all weekend debating Enoch Powell's controversial bill banning experiments on human embryos. But with the leader of the House, John Biffin, warning that if MPs agree to an open-ended debate, they'll be making a mockery of the rules of the Commons, the ploy is expected to be defeated. From Westminster, Richard Dallin.
Ministers and opposition leaders are hopeful the vote to continue debate over the weekend will be rejected. John Biffin's view that a yes vote would cause political chaos may sway the many undecided MPs who've been influenced by constituents' letters backing the bill. Mr Powell says his efforts to make it law have been quite within the rules.
They say all's fair in love and war. So nobody can dispute that it is a motion which is in order.
Whatever today's outcome, the Commons Procedure Committee will be asked to ensure it can't happen again. Richard Dallin, IRN, Westminster.
A mother has been reliving the excruciating pain she suffered during a caesarean birth following a hospital blunder. Margaret Ackers was awake during the operation because she hadn't been given enough anaesthetic, and a muscle relaxant had paralysed her so that she couldn't cry out and alert the surgeon. The 31-year-old mum from Wigan says every agonising cut of the scalpel felt like a red-hot poker searing her skin. Leslie Stevenson with this report.
Wigan Health Authority admitted liability for what happened in the maternity ward 4 years ago, and a judge has awarded her nearly £14,000 damages. But Mrs Ackers says she still remembers every minute of her hour-long operation.
I was taken into theatre thinking, sure, any minute now I'll go to sleep. I just wanted to curl up and scream out, but I couldn't. I've described it as being trapped in my own body.
The baby girl she had is now a lively four-year-old, and she's since had another child. But she says for the rest of her life she'll live in fear of the operating table. Leslie Stevenson, IRN, Wigan.
A government minister is being warned that he's sending a captive killer whale to its death if he agrees to have it moved from a cramped tank at Clacton-on-Sea in Essex. The Environment Minister, William Waldegrave, says the whale, called Nemo, should go to Windsor Safari Park. But the environmental pressure group Greenpeace wants Nemo returned to the wild. Greenpeace whale expert Doug Cartledge says the safari park pool is already too crowded with dolphins and another killer whale.
So as soon as the killer whale's put into the pool, the dominant dolphins there will attack it. If they don't cause it damage, there may be a fight with the other killer whale, and there would be no way in the world that they would be able to separate them if they started. I think Mr. Waldegrave is sentencing that animal to a water grave if he sends him to Windsor, possibly unsuspectingly, but that's what will likely happen.
Independent Radio News, Douglas Cameron reporting.
News from LBC's London desk. The government has promised a thorough inquiry into the accident which led to a House of Commons secretary being poisoned by drinking water and taken to hospital. A 21-year-old man who escaped from police custody at Harlesden last Saturday after being remanded on a theft charge has now been recaptured. And trading standards officials have seized more than £30,000 worth of counterfeit goods in raids on stalls at Epsom Downs over Derby Week.
Well, the rain isn't helping the rush hour, and it looks as if Philip will confirm this in a moment. It's going to go on for some considerable time. There's been an accident in Harlesden. That's on the North Circular at the junction of Ivy Avenue, and very heavy, slow-moving stuff now through Wembley 40 Lane. Well, let's have a look at the weather with Mr. Eden.
It's going to be another pretty horrid day today, though things will reluctantly begin to cheer up a little later on. I suppose you want to know what the temperature's going to do. Well, this morning it's 8 degrees in the city and not far from 8 degrees anywhere in the London area. And during the day it'll soar to a terrific 12 degrees. The worst of the day's weather is going to be this morning, dull and pretty wet, but the rain will die out by the middle part of the day, drying up first of all to the north and west of London, finally easing off in London itself around lunchtime or soon after. But in East Kent the rain probably won't stop until tea time. Once the rain has gone, the cloud layer slowly lifting and breaking, and we can look forward to a few late gleams of sunshine. With clearing skies and just a light northerly breeze and the temperature starting off pretty low, it's going to be a cold night tonight, down to 7 degrees in central London, down to 4 or 5 degrees in some country areas, and a rather cool but brighter day tomorrow.
8 minutes past nine.
Beautiful, beautiful Barbados, Jamaica, the Caribbean Sea. You'll find peace in Barbados.
Fly Barbados every Saturday afternoon from Gatwick, and Sundays too, by Caribbean Airways, the national airline of Barbados. Call your travel agent or ring Caribbean Airways on 01-493-6252. 493-6252.
And on this Friday, the 7th of June, 1985, into what's for me the last hour of AM after 10 years, greetings from Bob Honus and Douglas Cameron, if you've just joined us, as we hear now from the Football League, who say that the decision to ban English clubs playing anywhere else in the world could mean a death sentence for some of the teams. The Prime Minister is supporting the move by soccer's international ruling body, FIFA, but already the Football Association has lodged a protest. And the Secretary of the League, Graham Kelly, is describing the move as a bombshell.
It's completely over the top, very unfair, it smacks of panic measures, and it'll not only harm the ability of the clubs who've been banned from Europe to put their house in order, in quotes, as people are telling us to do, because it will detract from their revenue earning capacity. It will also adversely affect all the other clubs who can't go abroad, who can't go even to Scotland or Ireland or Wales to play a match and bring in some much needed money into the country. I mean, it's a totally ludicrous situation to ban a team from going to, say, the Middle East, where there's never ever been a problem of exporting hooliganism. A trip to the Middle East in the middle of the season, a two-day trip to play a lucrative friendly match, flying the flag for Britain and bringing money into the country, and now there's a ban on it. It's completely ludicrous.
How badly is this going to affect the clubs financially? Can you put a figure on the sort of money that's earned by English clubs abroad?
No, I'm afraid I can't, because I don't know what sort of monies are involved. I mean, all I can say is that there are substantial guarantees payable to our top clubs. Our clubs who have been successful in international competition can command substantial sums by appearing overseas.
Does the league intend to appeal against this decision at all? Is there anything you can do about it?
Well, we've only just heard about it, and the league really has no standing insofar as FIFA, nor indeed UEFA, are concerned. It may be that we would wish on behalf of our clubs to make representations to FIFA, but that if that were the case, I mean, the clubs may be able to do it themselves via the FA, but if that were the case, we would do it through our own football association. We would not do it direct, I don't think.
You said that you're shocked at this decision to ban all clubs, but didn't you in some ways expect it, that clubs all over the world can't risk, again, the kind of scenes that we saw in Brussels?
Well, I think that's a very wide question. The friendly matches which we're talking about, there has been no record whatsoever of crowd misconduct. So, as far as your question is concerned, no, we would not have expected it of any fair-minded organisation. I would have thought that a principle of justice is that somebody has to be proved guilty before being punished, and this seems to be excessive retribution.
The Secretary of the Football League, Graham Kelly, talking to our reporter Antonia Higgs. The time, 12 and a half minutes past nine, and rescuers on the Isle of Wight, as we heard in the main bulletin, have been making quicker progress overnight in their search for the man trapped down the well since Monday. Digging has been easier, and the firemen are hoping to reach the bottom of the well this morning. If they do not find Romanos Garenas, or Paddy as he's now being called, expert tunnellers will be brought in to assist the operation. From the Isle of Wight, Dave Loyan reports.
Inch by inch, building workers and firemen have now been constructing a prefabricated concrete well for more than 80 hours. But there's still 10 foot to go before they reach the bottom of the Victorian well where Paddy Garenas disappeared under tons of firestone and soft sandstone on Monday night. Assistant Divisional Fire Officer Roger Bayliss says the last few feet have been easier than the heavy work of the first days.
They certainly have. We've put the 19th ring in. Everything is grouted in, including the 19th ring, and they're digging now for the 20th ring.
The 20th ring would mean 40 foot down, so there's still a way to go, isn't there?
Approximately another 10 foot if we go on the assumption that it's a 50 foot shaft.
So what kind of a night's it been digging?
It's been rather easier. There's not so much hard rock, and they're ploughing the way through it.
Today they expect to reach the final phase as firemen make the search for Paddy Garenas at the bottom. But Roger Bayliss says they don't know yet what they'll find.
As we go down the bottom of the shaft, we understand funnels out. We're hoping that he's going to be directly in the shaft and we'll be able to get him out. But if he's away to the bottom edge of the funnel, further away from the ladder, then we've got a tunnel within that shaft, within the bottom of the funnel, to try and find him. And tomorrow, I understand, there's some expert tunnellers coming down ready to do that sort of operation.
So the long agonising vigil of family and friends continues in the fourth cold, misty dawn since Paddy Gerenus was buried alive on Monday. Morale is high among rescuers in this highly efficient operation.
The morale is excellent. The fire brigade, the civil engineers, every department that's dealing with this rescue operation, they've got one objective in mind, and that's to get that guy out, and nobody's going to rest until that happens.
And if there's no sign of life this morning, the search could continue into the weekend.
That report from Dave Loyne on the Isle of Wight. It's 9:15, you're listening to AM on LBC.
Victoria. This is Victoria Station.
Excuse me, is this train going to Purley?
No, this is the Sapphire. It's going to Brussels.
Brussels?
You know it. Yeah, we'll be there in 5 hours. Ah, yes, dining at Madame Julie's, best lobster bisque in the common market, strolling across the Grand Place.
Did you know, with Intercity Europe, you can get to Brussels from London Victoria for just £46 return? The train takes you non-stop to the smart jetfoil terminal at Dover. You'll travel in airline style with all the comfort of the train, then by fast jet foil to Ostend and rail right to the very centre of Brussels. For a brochure, phone Intercity Europe on 855 7000. That's 855 7000 for details of European savers to Brussels for just £46 return.
Intercity Europe.
9:15, three main stories running at the moment. Police have just entered a siege in South London. That news just in. Officers from the robbery squad have detained a man after surrounding a house at Bermondsey earlier this morning. The actor Stacey Keach, television tough guy detective Mike Hammer, has been released from Reading Jail. He's served 6 months of a 9-month sentence for smuggling cocaine into Britain. Walking through the prison gates this morning, he was met by more than 100 journalists. A British military car has been rammed and two British officers held for 5 hours in East Germany. Allied sources say the incident happened on Tuesday and that the officers were in open countryside and nowhere near a restricted zone. The weather could hardly be worse, really. Dull and wet this morning, slowly drying out during the afternoon, and just a little hint of sunshine before sunset. Temperatures, the worst, I think Philip said, for 8 years. Anyway, the top whack today is 12 centigrade, 54 Fahrenheit. That's the worst for 8 years in June, of course. But it might as well be November or March, because those figures are irrelevant, I think, to those months rather than June. So 54 degrees, the top whack, 46 degrees at the moment.
My feet are cold.
Well, they will be.
Yeah, I've just realised it's my feet
quite
are
cold.
I knew there was something wrong.
Mm.
My feet.
Well, OK, Bob, seeing as you're nice morning, try and do something about that in a minute. The wind, moderate northerly, sunset 9:13, light sun 9:43. This morning, of course, it's now 9:17.
Who goes west when the south is best? The witch gives sense. Get a double bed and you'll get them all together at the Witch Gift Centre. Skirts and tops and sprouts and chops in bigger, better shops at the Witch Gift Centre. Who goes west when the south is best? The Witch Gift Centre's the southwest end. It's bigger and it's better to your shopping at your leisure, because they've got it all together at the Witch Gift Centre.
The Witch Gift Centre, Croydon. A great place to shop.
It's 18 minutes past nine. The judge heading the Bradford soccer fire inquiry says his probe into the disaster is likely to end sooner than he'd thought. Originally, it had been set down for 3 weeks, but now only vital witnesses are being called. Rob Goldstone reports on the first 3 days of the inquiry.
Most of the evidence today will come from firemen and expert witnesses. Yesterday, police officers told how they wrestled through the blaze at the Valley Parade Ground to rescue trapped fans. The police told how they saw people burst into flames, others died in their seats, suffocated by the dense smoke. 22 witnesses were called yesterday, but Mr. Justice Popplewell, who's heading the inquiry, asked that only witnesses with something to add to the investigation be called in future, an indication that he's keen to bring the inquiry to a conclusion well ahead of its scheduled 3 weeks. Among yesterday's witnesses were a group of football fans who were sitting in the row of seats where the fire broke out. One of them, Stephen Wilkinson, told how he managed to escape the blaze through a tuck shop at the back of the stand, but how he then risked his life to help rescue trapped fans. He smashed open a bolted exit door with his bare hands and eventually ripped it off its hinges. Another spectator was plastics expert Cheslaw Pacella. He said he smelt burning polystyrene and was almost certain that the fire was started by a cigarette being dropped into a plastic coffee cup, setting fire to rubbish under under floorboards. Police Inspector Michael Simpson told the inquiry that vital police radio messages never reached the control because radios became jammed as officers tried to send out distress calls all at once. The inquiry is continuing.
Rob Goldstone reporting. The time, 19 and a half minutes past nine. And, of course, soccer very much in the news this morning, as you'll know if you've been listening to us for any length of time. Another aspect entirely now, which takes the lead in our sports news with Dominic.
Certainly is still the main talking point, Bob, following a terrible day for the game in England. First, the worldwide ban on English clubs playing outside this country, and then defeat for the national side at the hands of Italy by 2-1 in Mexico City. The Football Association are to ask FIFA to reconsider their decision, but there is no machinery for an appeal to be lodged, and worse may follow next month, when UEFA could ban England from the European Championships. At the moment, the FIFA ban doesn't affect the national team, but if UEFA do ban England, then FIFA might well extend that ban to the World Cup. The Football League held their annual general meeting in London today, and as we hear from Andrew Gidley, they have plenty to discuss.
All the items on the agenda at today's meeting were discussed yesterday afternoon by representatives of the First and Second Division clubs. They include the future of soccer on TV and the disasters at Bradford and Brussels. The Chelsea chairman Ken Bates leads the campaign to keep soccer away from the screens, and negotiations between the league, the BBC and ITV are deadlocked at the moment. Mr. Bates even wants England international games not shown, but now has to persuade his fellow chairman to think the same way. The ban on English clubs playing out of the country imposed by UEFA last weekend and by FIFA yesterday will also be discussed, while Gola League Bar City are attempting to gain entry into the Football League, with the four clubs up for re-election being Halifax, Northampton, Stockport and Torquay.
The draw for the semi-finals of the Benton and Hedges cricket competition will be made in about 10 minutes' time. So far, only Leicestershire have qualified because no play was possible in the three outstanding quarter-finals yesterday. The gloomy Philip Eden doesn't hold up much hope for any play today either. If he's right, Essex, Kent and Middlesex could qualify by virtue of their superior striking rate in the zonal matches. That's balls bowled for wickets taken. Another attempt will be made to start the Dunhill British Masters Golf Championship at Woburn this morning. Play was abandoned yesterday after just half an hour, and the organisers have decided to stage the final two rounds on Sunday in an effort to complete the 72 holes on time. It's men's singles semi-finals day at the French Open Tennis Championships in Paris. John McEnroe meets Matt Verlander in one match, and Jimmy Connors faces Ivan Lendl in the other. Tomorrow, the ladies' singles final will be between Martina Navratilova and Chris Lloyd. Eric Van Lancker will wear the race leader's yellow jersey on today's stage of the Milk Race, which is from Leeds to Derby. Roy Nickman is in second place ahead of Paul Watson, who won yesterday's stage. This afternoon's horse racing is at Epsom and Catterick, after which there's evening racing at Haydock Park. Colin Turner's selections at Epsom are number 6, Snap Decision, in the 2 o'clock, and in the 3-5, number 7, Scottish Reel, which is today's nap. The best at Catterick is number 2, Bold Way, in the 3:45. And then at Haydock Park this evening, especially for Bob, in the 8 o'clock, number 1, Runaway.
Oh,
this
thanks.
Afternoon, Greyhound racing at Bristol and Charlie. Gosforth. Jim Bailey selections, Queen's Gamble from Trap 6 in the 3:20 at Bristol and Classic Breeze from Trap 2 in the 4:22 at Gosforth.
It should have been called Move Into the Background.
That's it.
22 and a half minutes past. Well, from Brazil this morning, there's a report that the body of the Nazi war criminal, Dr. Josef Mengele, has been found in a cemetery near Sao Paulo. It's claimed he died in a swimming accident 6 years ago. Well, the Brazilian authorities are now sending for his dental records to try to check the identification. One man who's greeting the claim with some scepticism is the leading Nazi hunter, Simon Wiesenthal, who is now in the United States. Andrew Manderstam reports.
Simon Wiesenthal was given the news of the unearthing of the remains whilst travelling to New York from Europe. On arrival in the United States, he was confronted by dozens of journalists, all of whom wanted to know whether there was any likelihood that the search for Dr. Mengele was now about to end. The world's best-known hunter of ex-Nazis expressed extreme doubts.
I can say I'm very, very sceptical. Look, I cannot say 100%, maybe 99%.
Wiesenthal contends it's unlikely that it was Mengele, because for one thing, his family would have been relieved to have announced his passing at the earliest opportunity 6 years ago.
I'm sure the family had say Dr. Mengele is dead because they have a lot of troubles. His son has troubles. His wife, his second wife, she lives in Italy. She was taken for questioning by the Italian police. All these are journalists around their home, and this is not a normal situation. And also his lawyer, Steinacker, in Frankfurt, give the word of honor. When he will get the information that he is dead, then he will announce it.
So if Dr. Mengele, the so-called angel of death, is alive, where would Simon Wiesenthal expect to find him?
When I will be Mengele, I will sit in Paraguay, lie in Paraguay, because since 31 years, no revolution in this country. A big German population, a big Arab colony, only a very, very small number of Jews live there. And the president is a former German. He has a number of friends. Why to go to another country?
Simon Wiesenthal claims he hasn't given up all hope of catching Dr. Mengele, but he says it would be a miracle were he to find him.
Well, that was Andrew Mandelstam reporting from Mexico. And the time now is 24 and a half minutes past nine. Time for Andrew Jones with his weekly suggestions amongst the wine shelves of the supermarkets and shops.
Hi there. For our wines of the week, this week we start with a red. Vin de Pays des Collines de Rodanienne. Syrah, Tesco, 195. Now, you might think that sounds a little bit complicated. The wine itself, though, is a really full red Vin de Pays from the south of the Rhone. But you needn't worry about that strange name. Just look for the one word for the grape variety, S-Y-R-A-H, Syrah, a lovely full rich red from Tesco, 195. That's Syrah, Tesco, 195. My second choice, a dry white, not often seen these days, but used to be really quite popular in Britain, Beaujolais Blanc. 1983 vintage, an excellent year for Beaujolais Blanc and for all white wines in that area. From Louis Jadot, a very well-respected house, on sale in Victoria Wine at £2.55. That's Beaujolais Blanc 1983, Louis Jadot in Victoria Wine at £2.55. And the third, for those who occasionally like to have a German medium dry white wine that really has a touch of class and finesse. This is Mulheimer Helenenkloster, one word, Riesling Spätlese, 1983, won a gold medal from the Dollimore shops at £5.35. Now, very simply, they sell two different wines from Mulheimer, but one's much more expensive than the other. This is a very fine, fragrant and charming German wine from the lovely Mosel Valley. Mulheimer, well, I suggest that, in fact, just ask for the Mulheimer Riesling 1983 at £5.35 in the Dollimore shops, because it's so much cheaper than the other version from the same place that they have. That's all for this week. Happy drinking.
That was Andrew Jones, of course, a regular visitor to the organisation here. And indeed, I think it's through the good offices of Andrew that we happen to have a bottle of something here in the studio. Mm. It's just appeared from upstairs. I take it full reference will be made to this in the due course of time.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it will.
I'll get my uncorking finger ready at 27 minutes past nine.
One, two, three. I wonder who's driving my car. The 340 that took me so far. And I wonder who's sitting behind her wheel in a safety cage of rigid steel. Yes, I wonder whose Volvo she is now. Is it someone in Dorking or Slough? And I wonder who's cleaning her crumpled zones. An Alf or a Fred, a Smith or a Jones? Oh, I wonder why I feel so blue. My new one is coming at two. And though I know it will be just as faithful to me, still I wonder who's driving her now. Thank you very much. The Volvo 340 DL. At only £5,270, excluding number plates and delivery, it's unforgettable value.
The time is 9:28. Let's have the very latest from the scene of the traffic in London.
And oh my goodness gracious me, it's hello to you from the Gough Square Gyratory Scheme with me, Richard Robbins. All traffic lights in Gough Square are, I understand, a go-go-go for Bob Holness, not a roadblock in sight for Buster Bob. Good morning to you. Well, good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Richard. I couldn't really took me so by surprise. I'm absolutely stunned.
Completely dumbfounded. I know what the feeling is
where
like.
Where are you, for goodness sake?
Oh, well, now, that's a secret. I told you, in the Gough Square Gyratory Scheme.
Oh, I see, yes.
You actually must be feeling rather like a bird let loose from a cage.
Well, I am a little, but I'm also feeling a bit confused because you set me back, what, 3 years, is it? How long has it been?
It is indeed. Something like that. I think, well, it was only a fraction, a quarter, or possibly a third of your time. And anyway, I used to get up at about 5:30 as opposed to your 3:30,
I suppose. Everybody going round and round the gyratory system, not finding their way out, couldn't they? Of course, they were trying to follow your instructions. Well, do you remember, Douglas?
I do indeed, yes, I do indeed.
Richard,
Just remind us what you used to say when there was a lot of heavy traffic in the Hanger Lane gyratory system.
Well, here we are taking a look at the Hanger Lane gyratory system and coming north along the Hanger Hill.
I mean?
There's a great deal of problems on the A.
Yeah, you see what I mean? Well, it was exactly like that, Richard.
Yes. Thank you very much. It was not so much the information, more the style, I felt, Bob, that carried the whole thing along nicely. But still, on Monday morning, we'll all find out from Peter what sort of a deal he's got in store for us.
Yes, we will.
I actually thought I'd look for a quote to come up to sum up some of those 10 glorious
years.
Yes. Really impossible to find anything appropriate for you, young Holness.
Thank you.
So, for an original Robbins thought on the matter, bearing in mind the fact that alongside many a great woman is a great fellow, Mary had a great big guy. His words flowed fast and free.
Oh,
Holness the man, blockbusting ITV, that's Bob. From LBC, and with the with the traffic flowing fast and freely.
Thank you, Richard.
In and around this part of London, Bob.
It's still going on.
Oh, I never stop, although I think some congestion, I understand, at lunchtime is expected in Gough Square and elsewhere. A different sort of flowing then is demanded. This is Richard Robbins with a great big yellow van bearing down on me, returning you to the AM studio. No, no, leave me alone. You can't do this to me. I've friends at Scotland Yard.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Richard. Good gracious me. I thought I'd heard the end of him, but I should have known better.
Well, I think we'd better get a bit of conventional traffic news now from Jane Markham, hadn't we? She fainted. No wonder.
I'm stunned. Back to the real thing.
Yes, absolutely. Please, right.
And we've got a very busy rush hour, I'm afraid, to report on. And I've now got several accidents to report. Putney High Street at the junction with Lower Richmond Road is the scene of one. Another one on the A22 Godstone Road at the junction with St James's Road in Kenley. And on the A406 North Circular Road at the junction with Ivy Avenue, with quite long queues eastbound at the moment. There's a car on fire on Shaftesbury Avenue at the junction with St Giles High Street. That's causing severe congestion in central London at the moment. And if you're heading into London on the A40M, you'll find that very slow going. There are queues stretching back from the Marylebone flyover. Jane Markham, AA Road Watch.
Imagine this. Take off with Alitalia from Heathrow at 4:30 in the afternoon. Arrive in Milan in time to enjoy a great meal washed down with a rich and mellow Barolo. Awake to a fresh new morning, ready to start your business day. You can even be back home again in time for dinner. There are 110 flights weekly between the UK and Italy, with an onward network of worldwide destinations, making Euro Business Alitalia the executive's choice. Alitalia. Brava, Alitalia.
News 32, news from in and around London. The armed siege at a house in Bermondsey this morning is now over. The man's been arrested after holding himself up in the loft of the house. No shots were fired and no one was hurt. It's not yet clear whether he gave himself up or if the police moved in. A killer whale kept in a 10-foot-deep swimming pool at Clacton is to be moved at once to Windsor Safari Park on the orders of the government. But the environmental group Greenpeace say the move could end up killing Nemo, and they want him freed. Greenpeace say the Windsor pool is already dangerously overcrowded. It houses Winnie, Britain's only other killer whale in captivity, as well as 6 adult dolphins and a baby dolphin. The government has promised a thorough inquiry into the accident which led to a House of Commons secretary being poisoned by drinking water and being taken to hospital. Rodney Bennett with this report.
Junior Environment Minister Sir George Younger told the Commons there had been an inexcusable mistake by the Property Services Agency when 22 gallons of anti-corrosive fluid meant for the central heating system were poured instead into a water tank which fed wash basins and WCs in Norman Shaw House, the former Scotland Yard building, now a Commons annex. He said there may also have been a similar accident last month, and he promised a full investigation. The secretary taken ill after drinking contaminated water, 35-year-old Mrs. Jacqueline Winter, who works for Liberal MP David Alton, has now left hospital and is expected to make a full recovery.
A 21-year-old man who escaped from police custody at Harlesden Police Station last Saturday after being remanded in custody on a theft charge has now been recaptured. The prisoner, Paul McGrath, jumped free as he was being put into a van in the station yard. He'll appear before Willesden magistrates this morning. the grand gala opening of the new AquaZoom tubes at a swimming pool in Bexley, which was due to take place this evening, has been postponed for a month after a disastrous tryout. The chairman of the local recreation committee, Nigel Betts, says it was the worst possible start to what should have been a very happy occasion. The £250,000 tubes are now being modified, and our reporter, who covered the story for us, you may have heard that if you were listening a lot earlier in the programme, I think it was about 3 hours ago, but time certainly has flown this morning, one way and another. Dave Clark was covering that story for us a little earlier in the programme, and he reckons it should be about a month, and he'll be there for the opening. Let's hope it's a little less disastrous.
Well,
Bob.
The main stories this morning, in brief, very brief, the actor Stacey Keach, as you possibly heard, has been released from Reading Jail after serving 6 months of a 9-month sentence for smuggling cocaine into Britain. A British military car has been rammed and two British officers held for 5 hours in East Germany. And the chairman of the English Football League clubs are meeting in London this morning to decide how to fight the ban on their sides playing anywhere outside England.
Well, all our regular contributors keep popping in at very unusual times today, and I don't think we've ever heard Philip Eden give us the weather at 25 minutes to 10 of a morning, but here he is now, and I think he's probably in not only to give us the weather, but to say his special farewells.
Well, Bob, I know that you like everybody to believe that I take sadistic delight in forecasting the sort of weather we've got today.
We all know it.
I'm absolutely delighted to report that today is going to be suitably miserable for your last day here.
You'd say. Thank you, Philip, very much indeed. And can I thank you for the pleasure of your company over the last, what, I don't know how long it's been, a year, 2 years?
Since two and a half.
2.5 years, much as that. And it really has been a joy to find somebody so dedicated and keen on his job. I really mean that.
Well, thank you, and I must thank you for making my baptism into broadcasting relatively easy, even though you've made my life hell at times ever since. And I've got a little package here on behalf of myself and my colleague Neil Tallboys and all my other colleagues at Noble Denton.
How very kind.
Good. Come on, Bob, open it up.
Should I?
Mm.
Well, something may jump out at me. People know my likes. Hold on.
It's not another toy dog, is it?
No, it's not a toy dog. It looks to be... Oh, it's what... You remember, Douglas, a long time ago, somebody sent you a little weather house.
Yes.
And a man and a lady popped out. And you still got it at home. You consult it from time to time.
I do indeed, and very accurate. It's
snap
to be. Oh, gosh.
I have one as well.
Yes.
The lady's well out here today. Is that right?
It's probably been sitting on a radiator, that's why.
Thank you very much indeed. I do appreciate it.
Oh, it's
thanks
absolutely
to everybody
super
at Noble Denton. Thank you, gents, very much.
Well, are you going to give us the weather now?
Oh, I thought I'd done it. Miserable.
Miserable.
That's it. 24 minutes to 10.
Yes?
Hello, Beelzebub. Belial here.
How the devil are you?
Worried, old man. I've just been through the eternal damnation department, and you won't believe it, but it's cool. Not a damp brow in sight.
Yes?
Well, it's supposed to be hot, isn't it? That's the whole point of hell. Heat, everlasting bonfire, that sort of thing.
But now we've got Toshiba.
Bless you.
No. Toshiba air conditioning. It's a new wheeze of the old man's. He's put these neat ceiling jobs in every department. 3-year guarantee, easy to install. They've even got a heat pump that helps cut fuel bills in winter.
Heat pump? Now you're talking?
Missing the main point, old boy. Keep the damned cool and comfy and productivity shoots up. Well, we're ahead of our fire and brimstone targets already.
Cunning old devil.
Yes. Yes, he is, isn't he?
It pays to keep cool with Toshiba air conditioning. Dial 100 and ask for free phone Toshiba.
The place is rapidly disintegrating, I can tell you that. People are coming in and out of the studio. I haven't the faintest idea what... No, I mean, did I expect a fishmonger to come walking into the studio? No, I didn't, but Phil has joined us. We'll be hearing from him in a moment. Now, I can tell you one thing. Leaving the show will mean that in future I'll not only be able to hear our regular visitor from the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Information Bureau from now on, and I won't be able to see him. Doug will know all too well what I mean. No more suave, svelte, well-dressed man about town to brighten my Friday morning.
No, but I might drop in on you occasionally, Bob.
Not you, you fool.
Oh, sorry.
So, but about the most of it. Jonathan, good morning.
Hello.
Yes,
wonderful to see you all.
Oh, sickening. Well, now, let's rush, can we, very quickly through the fruit, if
absolutely
you wouldn't mind. Yes, and I think you've got melons as top of the pops.
Yes, we have, and there's some very good buys this week, which will have particular relevance to people who are retiring.
Really?
Yes. Gallia melons, extremely good and supposed to have certain substances in them, for example, which will keep older people younger longer.
Why are you
so
looking
I can strongly recommend Gallia melons. These were first raised in Israel. They're named after the daughter of the man who raised it, and he managed to raise his daughter at the age of 89. Get the point?
His daughter was 89?
No, he was 89 when he had his daughter.
I see.
It had a netted skin on a green background,
what,
pale green flesh.
Did?
No, he was 89. He had a netted skin on a green background, but after he'd been eating the pale green flesh of this delicious, sweet-flavoured melon, it changed, and he looked much better for it.
Sure he did.
And it'll only cost you 75 pence to 130.
What will?
This Gallia melon.
Fine. All right, on you go. Okay. Come on.
Apart from that, Golden Delicious and Granny Smith's and New Zealand Sturmers are probably the best apple buyers, and cooking apples absolutely superb. Now, you might like to know this, but in the old days, in the 16th century, they used to stew them up and use them as a beauty cream to smooth out wrinkles. So if you get some Bramleys and yes, slap it all over your face, it'll help.
Thank you.
Cape Barlinga grapes are extremely good quality, the black ones, and also the Israeli Perlette ones is good because they're small, sweet and seedless, so that helps people with false teeth, for example. Avocados are even better this week, and they make a terrific face mask for wrinkles as well. And bananas have got lots of potassium in them, and they're only 36 or 50 pence a pound, and that keeps you really cool. You know, if you really get sort of het up as you get older in this city, you can have one of those, and it keeps you going a long time.
Is this going on for much longer?
Asparagus is excellent. Now, asparagus was the one that the Culpepper said stirreth up bodily lust in man and woman, so you might need some of that.
Thanks.
90 to 160 a pound, so you can get about 10 sticks, and that'll stir up 10 times more bodily lust than one stick.
Can I just interrupt?
Please.
I'm going to ignore you. I'm going to leave you to carry on for your own, and I'm going to open this little bottle.
Fine,
I'll
just
yes, you can carry on, will you? Please, fine.
Mind your wrists.
Yes, okay. I'm
Jersey Royal new potatoes, easy in price, they're about 18 to 25 pence, the very best about the moment. We've got first...
Oh, boy.
Homegrown champagne. Sorry, homegrown new potatoes. 18 to 26 have arrived from the shops now. Courgettes are very good from France. Cabbage is excellent, particularly with champagne. It improves the flavour no end. Cauliflower is a bit dear at the moment because of a slight gap in supplies. But onions. Onions are very good buy at the moment. But would you believe it? They're coming from about 10 different countries because there's a small gap. Yes, indeed. But they're very good for baldness.
Are they?
If you either, if you rub it on and eat them as well. But you're supposed to rub on a fresh onion every morning. And
I
that
see.
Helps if you're getting a bit thin on top.
Thank you, Jonathan.
The other very good thing at the moment are the salads. Now, let's hope we have some more sun this weekend.
They keep you young, do they?
Cucumbers helps keep freckles at bay.
Yes.
And lettuce is actually a cure for insomnia. So you'll be able to indulge in lettuce. Now you don't have to get up at 3:30 every morning, and it'll help you to sleep. So lots of lettuce will actually help you to sleep.
Will they really?
Absolutely true.
Thank you. I never have trouble sleeping. Carry on.
Melon mousse is the recipe this week.
Is it? Thank you very much. I've got an idea that our general manager, Bill Coppengardner, shook this bottle before he brought it into the studio because the cork came flying out, lethal, and now I've got the entire desk covered in champagne, which is a bit sad, really. Jonathan, thank you very much indeed. I took note of all those things you said, and I shall expect a weekly supply until I retire at 85.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
There.
If you want to ring about the recipe, and you won't get Jonathan, you'll get somebody sensible on the phone, it's 373 7734. I do believe, between 12 and 1, 373 7734. It's also a farewell to my regular look at the list of prices and availability from the Seafish Industry Authority, and I usually get a Thursday preview, and it means that from now on I shall have to listen like the rest of you and queue up on a Friday. Much busier day. Mm. Anyway, Carolyn Cavell, what about this week? And you've introduced us to your friend here. Tell us more, because we've heard of him for many
years.
Yes,
yes, yes. Well,
never met him in person
before. We thought we
before.
Couldn't let you leave without actually... face-to-face meeting Phil.
Yeah.
So here's Phil Diamond, Chiswick's finest.
Chiswick's finest, all the way. On your retirement...
your retirement?
No, everybody seems to think you are.
It's a coined a phrase.
Yes, OK, well, on your leaving, here is two beautiful Dover soles for you.
God, that amazing... I won't have to queue up.
No, you won't have to queue up this week.
Absolutely.
And also, not to be outdone, I brought you something that really you wouldn't be happy without.
They've gone.
Guess what that is,
that
Bob.
That's smoked salmon, I can see.
It's disguised.
It's Coley.
It's Coley. It is a beautiful fillet of Coley.
It is Coley.
Magnificently gift wrapped by Phil.
Thank you very much, Karen.
And it's easily digestible.
Have
a lot of older people enjoy
notice
that,
this.
Don't they?
That is Coley.
Yes, Coley.
Not only have we met Phil, whom we've heard about for many years face-to-face, we've met Coley face-to-face, and we've heard about that every week.
And you're going to hear about it again, because it's still a very good buy.
Quick rundown.
Right. Herrings. Marvellous this weekend, 58 to 60 pence per pound. Coley fillets, 70 to 80 pence per pound. This week's skate wings, skin skate wings, are a very good buy, between £1 to £1.70. Huss is also good at £90 to £1.50. Lemon soles are £1.30 to £1.60. Dover soles, I might add, are rather more expensive, so we won't give you the price.
Yes, right.
Place from 60 pence up to about £1.20. And grey mullet's a good choice, £1.10 to £1.25.
That's it.
We've got a wonderful recipe, too.
And what's it for?
Seafood ring. Ooh. And it uses lots and lots of fish, including coley.
Yeah,
Place, haddock cutlets and whitefish in a ring, a sort of party dish. If you're celebrating something, it's ideal.
For sitting out in barbecues, isn't it?
No, certainly not. Oh, we don't expect the weather to change this
weekend.
No,
I can see that, yeah. Right, well, that's the fish scene. Thank you very much. How are you finding the fish scene, Phil? Is it good at the moment?
I am finding it pretty good at the moment. All new lines coming in all the time. At the moment, which I think you might be interested in, is Sanford grass as an aphrodisiac.
Oh, thank you. Jonathan Church tried for that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yes, I thought he would. Thank you very much indeed. I bet you didn't expect to be given champagne when you came to the studio this morning. Where are you situated, Phil?
I'm in Chiswick, Turnham Green Terrace. Been there 3 years now, and things are getting bigger and better all the time.
Tell us something. Do you have a bestseller? I don't mean just for this week. I mean a general best-selling fish.
Coley.
Is it really?
No, it's a very good selling fish, but nevertheless, I tend to try and have everything right across the board.
There's a diplomatic fish market.
No, this is it. We have tropical fish and we have British fish. We have...
spot of everything.
This is it. I'd like it when somebody comes into the shop to have a full choice, not to walk out by
it. Wouldn't. I'm looking up in the control room now, and I can see a very familiar, if somewhat suntanned, face sitting in the seat there. It's somebody we haven't seen for a very long time. Richard Day is one of our engineers who left us a long time ago. He's come back specially for the occasion. I know why he's come back. He heard there was champagne unwrapping, and he dropped in. You know how one does, wandering off the streets.
Yes.
Anyway, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Tough, tough about Richard. Quarter to ten.
Cheers, bud.
Nine:46. The main story is running. Actor Stacey Keach, television tough guy detective Mike Hammer, has been released from Reading Jail this morning. He's served 6 months of a 9-month sentence for smuggling cocaine into Britain. A British military car has been rammed and two British officers held for 5 hours in East Germany. And the chairman of the English Football League clubs are meeting in London this morning to decide how to fight the ban on their sides playing anywhere outside England.
The worldwide ban on English football clubs is still the main talking point in sport. The FA say they will appeal. FIFA says they can't. The draw for the semi-finals of the Benson and Hedges cricket competition has just been made. Leicestershire will play either Kent or Northamptonshire at Leicester in one match. Essex or Derbyshire will be at home to either Middlesex or Worcestershire in the other. Now our preview of today's racing, live, it says here, at great expense, certainly, Colin Turner.
Good.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Irish eyes are smiling.
Oh, how could I see you at this
stay
time
away, Bob?
Fancy dragging yourself out of bed at this hour of the morning. Colin.
11 years I've had to listen and put up with you.
Colin, have a drink of champagne.
Yes, I will try. Yes, 3 meetings, Dominic. You're going to tell us about Epsom, you're going to tell us about Catterick and Haydock Park. I'm going to tell you about the Knapp. 7 Scottish reel. What a choice, Bob.
Is it a good choice, Colin?
Yeah, it's a good choice, but when you're surrounded by 2 Scots and an Irishman, I don't think you have a chance, have you? The one I picked for tonight, Dominic mentioned earlier on, Haydock Park, number 1, Runaway. That's, I think, sort of appropriate, but...
I commented on that earlier. Moving sideways.
All right. Well, you said it a long time ago.
What?
Colin Turner, a man who could use 6 words instead of 1.
Something like that.
I can't say it. I can speak for a lot of the racing fans and say that they're going to be very sad that you're leaving. But there's one man who used to use just 1 word, and he says it all for me.
Hello, Bob. This is Terry Wogan here. Ever since I gave up the early morning radio show on Radio 2, I never, ever listened to you on LBC. But then I didn't listen to you in the beginning either. I never listened to you when we used to do Late Night Extra together for the BBC about 300 years ago. You told me I'd never make it then, and you were absolutely right. And the only piece of advice I can give to you, Bob, is for goodness sake, don't give up the radio for the television. Too many people have made that terrible mistake. And look what it's got them. I think you're too old to be doing blockbusters anyway. All those young people and you peering at them behind your bins. But I wish you the very best of luck, Bob. And I shall be watching your progress and saying all the usual things that we in showbiz do, like, why is he doing this? Bob Holness has made a terrible mistake. I'm sure you haven't. Good luck with it, Bob.
Thank you, Terence, very much indeed. Yes, charming, isn't it? They're all getting together and ganging up. Nice to hear from Terry Wogan. I haven't seen him for a while, not since the Variety Club Awards, in fact. And, yes, I will remember the late-night extra days. Terry was a lot slimmer then, but, I mean, he must have been a lot slimmer than he is now. He's even now having trouble buttoning up his jacket every second night on BBC television. Still, he goes from strength to strength, doesn't he?
Yes, yes, indeed.
It's just a matter of priorities. Yeah, right. You know, it depends how strong you are.
So he says it all for me, yes, instead of using one word.
I might have guessed I'd be ganged up on by the Irish, yeah. Thank you, Colin. Very much indeed.
No, best luck, Bob.
Yeah, and you too.
I think I'll just give a weather report because although Philip Eden is still with us, he's in no fit condition to give anybody anything now. He's settled back drinking a little bit of Bob's bubbly. So it's going to be dull and wet this morning, isn't it, Philip? Yes, he's nodding from the back of the studio. Slowly drying out during the afternoon, which is more than Philip Eden will do, and the clouds breaking just before sunset. It's 8... Oh, my God, he's got another bottle of champagne. Not Philip Eden, but Bob. They're coming in thick and fast here. We've got 10 minutes to go. Let me just say that it's the coldest June for 8 years. Is that right, Philip?
Coldest June day for 8 years.
Coldest June day for 8 years. Another little bottle of champagne going into Bob's glass. It's 8 centigrade, 46 Fahrenheit, and it's 12 centigrade, 54 Fahrenheit. We got 10 minutes more to go, and we don't quite know what we're going to do, but I'm sure we'll try and fill them as amicably as possible. Meanwhile, let's hear this.
To fully appreciate the Fiat Regata, it helps to be 6 feet 4 inches tall. It helps to have at least one wife, and a minimum of 3 children, who are unusually tall for their age. It helps to go away frequently at weekends, with no less than 5 suitcases and 3 holdalls, and provisions for a lot longer. If this sounds like you, give or take a few inches, and the odd child, test drive the Fiat Regata. There's space to spare in the car, and a very special offer to be made on the spot. The Fiat Regata from £5,189, plus on-the-road charges. Available from your local Fiat dealer now.
Well, the time now is 9 minutes to 10, 9 minutes to lift off, as it were, really, for
There's
Bob.
There's no room in the studio, do you realise that?
And so many people have written to us, so many members of the public have written to us and have contacted us by phone saying, what a day of regrets it's going to be to lose the old fella, and we hardly go along with that. And we have, of course, a great many contributors, many of whom have managed to pop into the studio and say their goodbyes to Bob actually live. Of course, one or two people just can't do that, one of which is this chap, who is a very familiar voice on AM, but the journey proved just too much, even for Bob's farewell.
It's still very early in the morning in Washington, and while a few lights are burning in the State Department, there's no evidence yet of any unusual activity or panic. A breakdown in intelligence may be the cause. There is speculation that U.S. officials were not given advance warning of today's development at Gough Square. Certainly, President Reagan has not been woken. But then one recalls at least 2 other occasions when his aides misjudged the situation and allowed him to sleep, only to have regretted their decision with hindsight. If the White House does issue a statement on the Holness affair, we'll be the first to bring it to you. Good luck, Bob, and thank you.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Andrew. Smashing to hear Andrew across the water, so to speak. Haven't seen him for a long time, have we, Andrew? Man, so he pops over from time to time, but obviously didn't think it worth popping over so much.
Well, here's a fellow that's popped in all the way from West London. He must have come about 2 or 3 miles, and he was working anyway. So Rodney Bennett, who is the senior reporter on the AM show, couldn't resist coming in and saying goodbye to you, because you've known him for a long time.
I seem to remember Bob in the studio BBC days about 20 years ago. Used to do a special programme for Adesia or something, didn't you?
Oh, crumbs, yes. Now, that was a time. Yes, I'd forgotten that. How did you remember that?
I remember. I was working Broadcasting House then. And
I couldn't even remember what it was called. There was a broadcasting station across the border from Rhodesia when all the trouble was going on. And it was put out by certain authorities in this country, and we broadcast music into Rhodesia at that time because of all the troubles. It didn't last terribly long, but I believe it was a good propaganda vehicle. No. Anyway, Rodney, it's nice to see you because I know you have problems with hay fever, and I thought, I had hoped that perhaps you'd be home in bed, but no, you've turned up here in the studio.
Well, actually, I've got to say, Bob, I was going to talk a bit about, because something I feel fairly strongly about. Yeah. However, with the weather we've had this year, the season is starting very late, so I'll leave it a day or two, and perhaps we'll chat to it about with Peter Dealey next week sometime, yes, okay. Because it's not started up yet. Just let me say, I've been on the show almost 5 years now. How much fun it's been working with you.
Oh, thank you very much indeed, Rod. It's jolly nice. You're okay with hay fever at the moment,
yes,
though.
It hasn't started up
no,
yet
I
at all.
I haven't heard you sniffling about the place of late. No, fine.
I just always remember the day when I was doing a commentary. Do you remember that? And one morning, and I said to the person I was talking to, said, and now finally, and then asked three more questions.
you
had a go
time.
At me afterwards. Yes.
Thank you very much. Dominic's here. Is he going to give us a bit of sports news?
Not really, no. Just him drinking the wine.
have a banana, if you like. What's this?
This is the one we played for you at 6:30 when we introduced you this morning. A lot of people wouldn't have heard it at 6:30. Isn't this one of your favourite pieces of music of all time?
Ted Heath's Opus 1. Yes, of course. Used to be the Tommy Dorsey number. This was the British version by Ted Heath. And what a popular number it was. We fade down Ted Heath. We give a cast list here in the studio. There's Richard Day in the corner, Colin Turner sprawled all over the desk, Rodney Bennett still with us, glass in hand, Dominic slumped in the chair next to me, Douglas likewise, but then is he anything but? We have Philip Eden still stepping away. We have said goodbye to Philip Bacon, who's just trotted out. He's one of our editorial staff, and of course the editor of AM, Robin Malcolm, he's trotted out as well. They came in not just to say goodbye, but to also have a sip of champagne.
Sip of champagne.
That's it. No more shall I say. And can I just say, quite sincerely, thank you to all the many, many people who've sent letters and cards. It is nice to receive them all, and it's a bit heartwarming to know that we have so many listeners. We know, but when they start contacting you personally, well, it really matters, doesn't it?
Oh, it doesn't.
So thank you to everybody out there, and to everybody here at LBC for their marvellous send-off this morning. I think it's time we got down to work and got some travel news underway, don't you?
Look around, court store, you'll find furniture galore. Look around.
Look around your local courts for super sale bargains. Take the beautiful Constellation Corner Group, upholstered in sculptured velours, cut to half price, save £300. Or a famous name 3-foot storage divan like the Silent Night Geneva, half price at £99.
Look around, court store, look around, court sale, see why court is your kind of store.
And your kind of sale is on now.
Jennifer, you know this imaginary superstore I've been planning?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I think you do. Well, I've been thinking, as well as the huge delicatessen, we ought to have crusty loaves baked every day and a continental pâtisserie with delicious gooey cakes.
Yes, and there's lovely handmade chocolates, coffee creams, I was thinking.
Uh-huh.
The superstore with everything is now open. It's Tesco Brent Park, Neasden. Today's Tesco, tomorrow's superstore.
Not just ordinary chocolates, of course, the ones with the nuts on top.
Why?
Well, because I like nuts.
Well, Jane Markham, I know how things are at this end. How are things at your end?
Well, equally confused and congested, I would say. The A23 Purley Way is carrying very heavy traffic. That's due to an accident at the junction with Croydon Road earlier on. The A202 Camberwell New Road at the junction with Vassal Road in Keddington is also congested and getting reports of an accident from there. And also on Putney High Street at the junction with Lower Richmond Road. The vehicles involved in the accident I mentioned earlier on the A406 North Circular Road at the junction with Ivy Avenue have been cleared, but it's still slow eastbound on the A406, and on the A22 Godstone Road at the junction with St James's Road in Kenley, there's still some hold-ups due to yet another accident earlier on. Shaftesbury Avenue is also busy. A car was on fire a little while ago. And finally, from all of us here, Bob, good luck and bon voyage in whatever you'll be doing in the future.
Jane, thank you very much indeed.
That's certainly perfectly all right.
And for air travellers, no reports of any difficulties at domestic airports or on the continent.
If you're meeting passengers, British Airways arrivals are welter time with two exceptions. BA020 from Peking, Hong Kong and Bahrain, it'll be landing at 11 o'clock. And this afternoon, a delay on BA146 from Delhi, Dubai and Kuwait, a provisional landing time of 7:30 this evening. Finally, Bob, I wish I could think of something different to say, but I can't. So very good luck. We'll all miss you here.
Marie, thank you very much, and love to Neville as well. Thank you for all the team.
Hello there. I got with me Jill Martin from Chigwell. Jill, tell us why you rode into Ariel.
My husband decided to defrost my freezer one evening and left several bags of soft summer fruits on top of a basket of white washing.
Nice
and
of him.
24 hours later, I found all my white washing soaked in raspberries, blackcurrants, blackberries.
So what did you do to get them clean?
Well, I decided to try and see whether Ariel Automatic would live up to the claims that I've seen on the television. And it did.
And it did.
I put them on not too hot a wash because some of the articles were not suitable for hot washing, and everything came out absolutely white with not a stain in sight, and I was just amazed. And I still have my husband, and I still have my clean white washing.
That's marvellous.
And that does it, not just for the week as far as I'm concerned, but for the foreseeable future on AM, though it must be said not on LBC generally. Doug, smashing 10 years, many thanks for everything.
Well, many thanks to you. It's been a great pleasure and a privilege to work with you, Bob, and to know that not only are you a colleague, but a friend. We have one big regret. We had intended to have your wife in as your last live
Good
guest.
Heavens.
Unfortunately, there was an accident not involving her in the car going for her. When she does arrive, maybe she'll get on the Hayes programme.
The news at 10.
It's the 10 o'clock news. This is Douglas Cameron. A siege has ended in South London with a man surrendering to members of Scotland Yard's robbery squad. He was persuaded to give himself up by members of his family, who were allowed in turn to go into the house in Bermondsey. This report from Mark Easton.
Police marksmen wearing flak jackets surrounded the South London house after the man had holed himself up in the loft, apparently armed. Officers seemed content to stake out the building, but at about 8 o'clock this morning, the man's father arrived at the house, having been told of the siege. He went in and spoke to his son, who walked out an hour later. The man was driven away by officers from Scotland Yard's robbery squad. Mark Easton, IRN, South London.
Rescuers say they should know within the next few hours whether the man trapped since Monday at the bottom of a well on the Isle of Wight is dead or alive. They've now almost finished building a new well from concrete rings and are just a few feet from their target. From the scene, Dave Lyne.
21 of the 2-foot-wide concrete rings now make a new well over the old, and fireman Roger Bayliss says the chief fire officer has now called in expert tunnellers.
We expect that from the 23rd ring, the ground to really be unstable, and that is why he's called in these timber experts.
Another narrow cavity has been found on the way down with a pocket of fresh air, giving rise to hopes that Paddy Geranus could still be alive. Dave Loyne, IRN on the Isle of Wight.
Two British Army officers attached to a mission in East Germany were held for 5 hours after their car was rammed by a Soviet vehicle. The men have not been named, and they were later released unharmed. Here's our defence correspondent, Paul Maurice.
The British government has complained vehemently to the Soviet authorities about the incident earlier this week. The two officers are part of the British mission to East Germany, an interchange system set up after the last war to coordinate the movements of occupation forces. Since then, it's been used by both sides for intelligence-gathering purposes, but the two British officers involved in this week's incident were apparently nowhere near a restricted zone. However, the commander-in-chief of British forces in Berlin was so annoyed about the ramming and detention of his officers that he's cancelled Soviet invitations to the Queen's birthday parade in the city today.
A school for homosexual young people has opened up in New York. The first intake of pupils includes 14 boys and 6 girls, all over the age of 14. They've come to the school in the city's Greenwich Village from ordinary schools, and there's a list of pupils waiting to transfer to it. The chairman of English Football League clubs are meeting in London this morning to decide how to fight the ban on their sides playing anywhere outside England. The ban's been imposed by world soccer bosses as a punishment for the riot in Brussels, which left 38 people dead. Here's Mike Vince.
The FIFA ban has made England the lepers of world football, according to league president Jack Dunnett, and now chairman are demanding action. The ban's a cruel blow to clubs' hopes of balancing books and keeping their top stars away from the lure of continental soccer. Many pre-season tours have had to be scrapped, costing money clubs can ill afford. The chairman believes FIFA's been grossly unfair to bracket all clubs together, and FA chairman Bert Millichip has described the ban as totally unreasonable. And with millions of pounds, in some cases the club's very survival at stake, few chairmen are likely to disagree.
The draw for the semi-finals of the Benson and Hedges cricket competition has just been made. Leicestershire will play either Kent or Northants at Leicester in one match. Essex or Derbyshire will be at home to either Middlesex or Worcester in the other. Independent Radio News.
Just before we go over to Brian Hayes, Douglas, I thought I might just say something which I'd actually omitted, not through in any intent on my part, but because there were so many people flooding into the studio. We mentioned Richard Day, one of the previous engineers on the programme, but we haven't mentioned, in fact, our engineer at the moment, Dave Leutner, and Glyn, the other engineer, Glyn Perkins, who is on the programme. And it's wrong, indeed, that they should be left out, because if it weren't for them, we wouldn't be heard at all. So I just heard a word of thanks to them as well.
Yes, I think we've got two of the best engineers in the business currently. And I would like to endorse that, Bob. But, of course, I've always endorsed everything you've said.
Well, of course you have, as you do Brian Hayes.
Good morning. Good morning and goodbye, in a sense, too. I'll be seeing you around, of course, Bob. Thank you very much indeed for AM. You'll be thrilled to hear. I have, because I couldn't stand the emotional strain, postponed my retirement. Good morning, London. I'm with you until one on LBC. It's 8 degrees. The day in the capital city overcast and cold this morning. There'll be some more rain, but it will die out by this afternoon. As I said, cold to the point where the maximum will go no higher than 12 degrees. Now, it's London talking. You can be part of it by ringing 353-8111. We would like to hear your views on the issues and events in today's news, and we will find out what you've decided to talk about in just a moment. Just after 11, a personal view of the week by Robert Elms. Then David Yallop tells us why he thinks Pope John Paul I was murdered. After the midday news and City Report, we talk about jazz with John Chilton, performer, and, in a sense, jazz historian. Plus news, weather, sport, traffic, and the latest from the city this morning on LBC.
How does a motoring holiday in Ireland sound? Interesting? Well, you'll be pleased to hear we don't drive a hard bargain. Prices start at £87. Call Freephone Ireland for details. The most interesting people go to Ireland.
This is Mark Smith on LBC This Evening, the enduring magic of the teddy bear. We've all got one, but maybe you didn't know there's a club here in London for bear freaks. I'll be talking to the ambassador bear of the International Teddy Bears Club, Robin Lumley. I'll be looking at the history of the skyscraper. The first went up in Chicago over 100 years ago. They're now part of all our lives, plus the week's theatre reviewed, and we look through the pages of the local papers. Be with me, Mark Smith, for the best 2 hours of evening radio in London, starting at 7:30 on LBC.
Ready to talk? Then ring 01 353 8111. Now, we have an LBC phone vote this morning. We did indeed have one yesterday. I'll tell you in